Police in Tokyo have arrested a woman who has been wanted since 1995 for the sarin gas attack on the subway system there. George Zimmerman is back in jail, ordered back by the judge who said Zimmerman lied about his financial situation during his bail hearing. 20-year-old Miss Rhode Island was crowned Miss USA last night. Olivia Culpo will now represent the United States in this year's Miss Universe pageant. This is NBC News Radio. Stephen Baldwin is suing Kevin Costner, and the trial begins today. NBC's Scott Walterman says both are expected to testify.
The federal lawsuit claims that Costner and a business partner duped Baldwin and a friend out of their shares of the company just before an $18 million deal was made for BP to buy oil separating centrifuges. Baldwin and his friend said they didn't know about the deal when they agreed to sell their shares of Ocean Therapy Solutions. That's the company that marketed the centrifuges to BP for $1.4 million. Scott Walterman, NBC News. Radio.
The Hunger Games got a full plate of MTV Movie Awards last night, but Twilight Saga Breaking Dawn Part 1 stole the Best Kiss Award. And the man who kissed every female contestant on Family Feud when he was the host, Richard Dawson, has passed away in Los Angeles. He died from complications of cancer. He was 79. I'm Lynn Berry, NBC News Radio.
Last season was the Gulf's best tourism season in years.
All because so many people came to Louisiana.
They came to see us in Florida.
Make that Alabama.
Make that Mississippi.
Hi, this is Karen Sock from Biloxi, Mississippi.
This is Ron Hardy from Panama City, Florida.
Hey, this is Cheryl Zisson in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
This is Bill Kearney from New Orleans, Louisiana.
The best part of the Gulf is wherever you choose. And now's a great time to discover it.
This is a cordial invitation to visit the Gulf Coast.
Brought to you by BP and all of us. Call the Gulf home.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both breathe easier.
In 2 weeks, the Fed Reserve begins its policy meeting, at which many now think it should at least discuss the possibility of another monetary stimulus plan. But at least one member of the policy-setting committee, Cleveland Fed Bank President Sandra Pinalto, tells the Wall Street Journal last week's shockingly bad May jobs report does not change her assessment of the overall economy, at least yet. That jobs report is getting about half the blame for the fact world stock markets have been plunging today. The other half is a weak services sector report from China. Japan's Nikkei fell 2%, European markets down as much as 1%, S&P, NASDAQ futures each down about 3 points. We've been telling you the video game industry has been suffering through a prolonged slowdown in sales, both of consoles and of game titles. This week at the big Electronic Entertainment Expo comes what many hope will be a jolt to the business. Nintendo unveils the next version of the Wii. It's calling it the Wii U. I'm Andrew O'Day in the newsroom at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You've probably seen me being interviewed on CNBC, Bloomberg, or Fox TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the markets. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade, and I've been on the floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-827-0407, and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report at no cost to you. Again, just leave me your email address on my voicemail at 800-827-0407. That's 800-827-0407.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Today, my journey to help save people money on car insurance brings me to a shopping mall. Of course, when it comes to shopping for car insurance, most people go to GEICO. I mean, with all the discounts they offer, why would you shop anywhere else? There are discounts for complete and defensive driving courses, multi-policy discounts, and discounts for being accident-free. You know, this mall is a real maze. I think I passed that candle store about 5 times.
For a free rate quote, visit Geico.com to see how much you could save. Geico, 15 minutes could save you 15% or more on car insurance.
Smart companies everywhere are getting dressed at Land's End Business Outfitters. We'll embroider your company logo on everything from polos to outerwear. Our quality will unify your team and make your brand better. Small companies to market leaders like Hampton Hotels and Southwest Airlines are dressing their employees at Land's End Business Outfitters. Now let us show you your good name on our good products. Visit landsend.biz. That's Land's.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
They call us a mob.
To try to divide us.
They tell us prosperity should start at the top and to wait for it to trickle down.
More like piddle down.
They refuse to compromise for the good of the country.
When you're right, you don't have to compromise. Compromise is for people that are wrong.
Instead, caring more about the politics of politics.
I don't know why he believes that it's going to be any easier for Republicans than Democrats to make these tough decisions.
They think we have no choice but to sit back and take it.
Think again.
No more. This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Good morning, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano. It is the Monday, the fourth day of June 2012. A belated happy birthday, my son Dominic, yesterday. A early happy birthday to my dad, who will turn older tomorrow. I don't know. Does it matter at this point? 81. My dad will be 81 tomorrow. Dominic was 19 yesterday. And actually, had God may she rest in peace, my mother would have had her birthday today. But she is no longer with us. Anyway, this time of year is expensive. Between Mother's Day and Father's Day and birthdays, because my wife's birthday was last weekend, it's just nonstop. Nonstop, I tell you. Not that that's a bad thing. I'm just saying. Yowza. Enjoyed, my in-laws were with us for the weekend. Enjoyed seeing them. And Jeff's back. We'll get to that in just a little bit. Tigers lost, which, continues to be a problem. I don't know. Things are just not looking good for the Detroit Tigers. Drew Sharp, said in today's paper, they stink. I don't know that I disagree with that. Anyway, we'll get to all of that. Hope that you all had a great weekend. Glad that you're back on this Monday. We have a pretty stellar lineup of things to talk about today, including in the 7 o'clock hour, State Representative Harvey Santana, who will be in studio with us. Lots on Harvey's mind. We'll look forward to visiting with him. Occupy Detroit will occupy first shift at 7:50. Hans Barbe will be with us. Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, joins us just after 8 o'clock. You can bet Thad McCotter will be a part of that discussion. And Chris Savage from Eclectablog, as we continue with our blog roll segment at 8:35. So we have a lot to do and plenty of time to do it. So let's get this thing going.
Before you punch in for your first shift, here is the first word with Tony.
Sadness, sadness, sadness. I'm sad today for obituary time, sadly. Catherine Justin, actress Catherine Justin, who, you know, you may not know her by name, but chances are, especially for those of us that are political, you watched The West Wing. She was Mrs. Landingham, President, the fictitious President Bartlett's secretary. Beloved secretary, she first came onto my radar screen when she was on the sitcom Ellen. And then, of course, The West Wing. Most recently, she was on Desperate Housewives. She passed away yesterday at the age of 72, sadly enough. And then I read early this morning that Richard Dawson of Hogan's Heroes, and more infamously known for Family Feud, passed away as well at the age of 79 yesterday. And they say these things come in threes, right? I don't know that that's true, but let's hope no other celebrity passes away. Sadness, sadness, and seeing these people go away. Of course, Catherine Justin still enjoying her career when she passes. Richard Dawson, long retired, been out of the spotlight a very long time, but certainly well remembered as the Kissing Game show host. And read an article that they say he kissed 20,000 women in his life. I'm not saying that's a good thing. I'm just saying it's what he did. Catherine Newsom, by the way, was also on Darm and Greg, Ally McBeal, Scrubs, and lots of other stuff, and she will be missed. So we'll just leave it there. Today's word is sadness. Indeed, it is sadness. It says she was an active in animal rights causes. She appeared with other celebrities at a 2008 news conference in Los Angeles to ask the city to abandon a project for a $40 million elephant enclosure at the Los Angeles Zoo. Elephants are not meant to be kept captive, are they? No, they're not. Anyway, Catherine Justin. Morning, Jeffrey. Welcome home.
Well, good morning. How are you?
Nice ride, dude.
Thank you. I'm enjoying it so far.
I know.
People are asking me, well, how do you like it so far? And I'm like, I just drove it for the first time today, you know? I mean, that was yesterday.
Right. Well, I'm sure you're enjoying it, and I'm sure you will for a while. And so, but it's a beautiful car. It looks brand new, by the way.
Yeah, it does seem like it's in pretty decent condition. It's funny because it's not brand new. So I didn't get it, you know, obviously it's 2005. And I didn't get it from a, you know, like a huge dealership. It's like a little family-run dealership. And yet, I have 150 XM channels for some reason.
Go with it.
Well, that's what I'm saying. I just don't know who's paying the bill. I don't know. So I'll enjoy it while it lasts, I guess.
That's interesting, because you're right. That's usually a dealership thing. Well, but, I mean, they're a legitimate dealership, right? I mean, they're licensed and everything.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's not like it's, you know, a Chevy dealer it's a used car dealer, you know? So it's not like it's, you know, how, like, if you buy a brand new Chevy car, they'll be like, you get free promo stuff.
Right. Well, I know both my sisters recently, well, not recently, did buy a used car, and they did get free satellite radio for, like, 6 months or something. But they bought them through big dealerships, so I understand your point.
I was just a little disappointed, though. The only reason why I would have satellite radio, because I like local terrestrial stations such as 1310, but the only reason why I would have it is because of the baseball games. You get to, like, the 170s, and you can listen to every baseball game, home and away broadcast that you want, right?
See, yeah, but and when they were giving it to me for free, I didn't get that stuff.
Not getting it either.
Yeah, you had to actually kind of sign up for it. That was their way of, you know, kind of prodding you. All right, we'll come back to that. I want to take a call and then we'll continue. So let's welcome Amir in Detroit. Good morning, brother. How are you doing?
Hey, good morning, Tony. Good morning, Jeff. Just wanted to touch on your first word, sadness. It basically, like our job report, very sad, which shows how sad our Congress is, which shows how sad the Republicans are. I'm not sure how they're trying to blame this on President Obama, but didn't they tout and holler and cry, government don't create jobs?
Yeah.
Didn't they tout and holler? But aren't all these Republican governors cutting jobs when they said they were going in there to create jobs? See, these people are I don't know what's wrong with them. Their brains are not on straight. And I don't see how anybody that's Republican vote for these Republicans.
Well, I don't get it. You know, you and I, of course, Amir, agree. And part of the challenge here is, you're right, these arguments are convenient for them when they're convenient for them, and then when they're not convenient for them, they just drop them until they're convenient for them once again. It's fascinating when we look to see what Republican legislatures around the country, not just in Michigan, but around the country have done. They cut public sector jobs every chance they get. So the private sector is creating jobs. If they would leave the public sector alone, we would be fine. We would probably see an unemployment rate under 6% already. But, you know, the Republicans can't let that happen because that would make the president look good, and we wouldn't want to go ahead and do something stupid like that, Amir.
But I don't know why they really feel that people out here, even those that don't pay attention to politics, are going to think it's the president's fault, especially when they know Mitch McConnell, Mitch Malipsis, and the Dingleberry in Congress, Boehner, their whole goal is to destroy President Obama. And I ask people, when they want to destroy the president, don't they want to destroy America?
Yes, they do.
Make them, like, treasonous.
Yeah, Bob, you would think so. I mean, Amir, you would really think so. It makes no there's no correlation between logic and what happens in Congress. And it's so it's so disrespectful. It's so, you know, disingenuous. It is it's really a travesty of justice that Congress continues to play this game with our lives, and they consider it to be a game. They're all making a decent buck, dude. They don't need to worry about where their next paycheck's coming. Absolutely.
So, but I'm just asking any Republican out there that's listening, tell me, why do you vote for of these Republicans? I can understand some of the ones back in the day, but these Republicans right here have sold us out to overseas corporations, to very wealthy people, and to themselves. So I'm not understanding where you connect with them. And how you should feel I should connect with them when I feel I'm an American and I'm not trying to sell my country out.
No, I think that, Amir, that is a legitimate question. So we're going to throw it. And thank you for your call, brother. Have a good morning.
Have a good day.
Well, let's throw it out there. I think Amir asks an important question. If you're a Republican, why do you support this current Republican Party? Why do you do that? What's in it for you? What's in it for you personally? Because I preach politics should be personal. I preach that. So what is it about this current batch of Republicans that you personally, as a Republican, that you personally find attractive or appealing or worth supporting? 888-552-3595. 888-552-3595. I have a feeling the phones are not going to ring off the hook. I've said this before, and I'll say it one more time before we get to the break. To be a Republican in today's environment is extremely frustrating if you're a Republican, because it's almost impossible to support what it is they stand for, mostly because they don't know what they stand for. I know what they stand against, basically an American agenda that matters. Let's take a break. We'll come back. This is First Shift. Happy Monday to you. We'll be right back.
First Shift with Tony Trippiano.
You know why I knew this rescue would succeed? It was because I believed in you. I placed my bet on the American worker. And I'll make that bet any day of the week.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Looking good so far on your commute. Just watching construction, like on 23 Mile Road in both directions between North Avenue and Gratiot for road construction. And Ann Arbor Road westbound heading to the 275 northbound ramp. That's closed until late July. And don't forget about that water main work on Finkel, just east of Livernois. And 24 Mile Road in both directions between Jewel Road and Shaner. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
feed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan.
Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
Unions work. One of the many advantages of being a worker covered by a union contract is the increased likelihood that you will have guaranteed benefits, including scheduled wage increases, affordable health insurance, a secure pension, and paid time off than non-union workers. Wouldn't it be nice to have the peace of mind and economic security that comes with a union contract? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Let me welcome to First Shift Representative Richard Hamill.
Now, to give a bill of immediate effect, which means the bill would take effect directly after the governor signs the bill, unless there's something within the bill that there's a provision for it to be extended. But the Constitution clearly says that if 20% or one-fifth of the members in the House of Representatives want to have a record roll call vote on an immediate effect, that that should be granted. And we have not had the ability at all in this last little bit to be able to have a record roll call vote on immediate effect. I'll say not ever all. There's less than five times in the 560 times we've passed the bill where we've had immediate effect votes. So at least slow the process down a little bit. Doesn't change the legislation. Doesn't say that people can't pass things that they want. Majority parties have that ability in that center, but we say the Constitution says that you should have the opportunity to slow it down just a hair.
On 1310 WDTW. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He's come over.
Interact with other listeners.
Yo, what's up, diggity dog?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us.
At Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
In a blue-collar, get-to-work-and-get-the-job-done kind of state like Michigan, there's only one show that cares about the men and women
who put in a hard day's work every day.
This is First Shift on 1310 WDTW. Now, back to Tony Trupiano.
22 minutes after 6 o'clock, no Republicans calling and defending their Republicanism. Doesn't surprise me. Anyway, welcome back. Jeff wanted to, if we certainly could, talk a little bit about your trip wish your uncle well as he retired from the United States Air Force after, did we get a count, was it 25 years? You weren't sure if it was 20 or 25.
No, I think it was over 30 now.
Oh, wow, okay.
So, yeah, he's been in there for a while.
You were telling me before the show that it was really quite an impressive display, and he was much more accomplished than most in the family even ever realized.
Yeah, I mean, no, he's not one to talk about it, you know, and that's kind of got it from his dad, which is another thing I was reminded of. I had already known that my grandpa was a Marine. My older uncle served in Vietnam. Actually, I think all my uncles on that side of the family have served in the military at some point in some way. So they went through the accomplishments of them as well. It was because they brought us in. It was this giant hangar. There's planes taking off in the background. They actually parked one of his planes out back so you could see, you know, the plane that he navigated when he was a navigator. And then they had this giant stage and one of the biggest American flags I've ever seen in the background, which I thought was very cool. And then they went and, you know, honored the family. Thank you for being here kind of thing. And I thought, okay, they're going to do his immediate family. And they did. And then they started doing his brothers and sisters that showed up. And I was like, okay, that makes sense. And then they read my name off as well as, you know, my other cousin and my cousin's kids. And I thought that was kind of cool, too, that they recognized all of us for being there because they know that family's important in the military. So I thought that was kind of cool.
That is very cool. No question that is very cool. Well, I'm glad that you, and I'm sure you're glad that you had an opportunity to experience that. And even though it was a lot of driving in a very short period of time, certainly well worth your time.
Yeah, and like you said, they started reading off the accomplishments and not one to talk about it. So even afterwards, his brothers, who had served in the military, even his closest brother, which was in the Air Force, came up to him afterwards, and they basically made a comment like, we had no idea who you are in the military as it is, you know, because they went through his accomplishments. He wrote manuals to weapons, you know, that weapons instruction guides that were on his plane, for his plane. He wrote the programs to get into certain classifications for the Air Force. I mean, they basically they set him up and they're like, here you go, you know, here's, and I can't remember it sounds kind of dumb, but I can't remember the exact, you know, the lettering or what it was, but we need this program. And they're like, okay, well, where's the past instruction guides? No, there never has been one. So he had to write an entire program and get people certified. And basically they said it was like one of the best programs. These guys would go through and they would learn all the stuff that he had to teach them. And the graduates would be like, we've taken other programs, and obviously this was one of the best ones, and it was brand new because they had just wrote the manuals, the instructions, the curriculum, the guidelines, everything. I mean, it was very impressive the stuff he was able to do. And then, of course, they were going through when he went to school, and he was always in the top 10% of every class he took, and one of two guys that was recognized for something later on in his career for programs he took. So I don't know. I was pretty impressed. I mean, the guy has always been, he comes home after a hard day of work and never really, I don't know how to put it, like not, you know, doesn't turn on a charm after a 14-hour day when the family's visiting. And so he would say, hey, nice to see you, and then go to bed or just kind of zone out for a while. And now we know why.
There you go.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, I mean, hard work is hard work, Jeff. There's nothing replaces it. And obviously, and I say that, he sounds like he was a stoic person. I don't mean that in a negative way at all. Very serious, understood his task, served his country well, obviously took that responsibility to heart and lived his job, which is what people with the work ethic do.
It's funny because as soon as he retired, the second he retired, his daughters were like, man, you should have done this 5 years ago, because all of a sudden, the charm is out. He's joking around. He's like a completely, the pressure's off his shoulders. He had like two cell phones he had to carry around for the military, even on vacation, even if he was just going to the zoo with his family. And so we actually went, we took his granddaughters to the petting farm on Sunday. And he's like, this is nuts. I don't have any, my pockets are empty. No cell phones. And you could just
tell.
Well,
what's he plan on doing now, Jeff?
I'm not too worried. He has his own woodworking shop, and I'm not sure exactly what. I don't even know if he has anything planned, but I know that he's actually built furniture before, and he's really good at it. So I'm sure he's going to, get back into doing that.
Are they going to stay in the St. Louis area?
Yeah, I think so. Well, it's funny because when you're in the military, your family puts their lives aside. I mean, they've moved every 2 years, and, they went through the whole toll it took on the daughters. But his wife, my aunt, had always wanted to be a teacher, and she put off her career ever since college. She's gotten jobs, of course. She worked at, Joann Fabrics kind of deals, and she got, she worked at the school as a, I don't even know, teacher helper, counselor, and whatever. Always wanted to be a teacher, though. And she's actually now going to become a teacher in the St. Louis area. She graduated from school right as he was retiring. And so he's retired, and now she's going to get to go and do what she's always wanted to do and become a teacher. And it's not like they need the money. She just has always really loved kids and teaching kids, and so now she's going to be a teacher.
I think it's wonderful. I mean, I think that's great. Yeah, you're never too old to fulfill your dream or to get an education or to impart that education onto young, impressionable minds. So good for them.
It's funny, too, because her second oldest daughter was actually in a lot of the same classes because they both are going to be teachers.
Ah, okay.
So and they're not teachers at the same school, but they did take a couple classes together. So I thought that was pretty interesting.
Did we find out who was the better student?
No.
No, and we probably don't want to know that. I'm guessing they didn't compare grades.
No, they probably helped each other out, though.
But yeah,
I made a new best friend, by the way. Not to vulgar the entire segment, but my cousin...
You might as well. There's only another minute okay. 20 left, so go ahead.
My cousin has two daughters. One's 6 and one is 3, and the 3-year-old would not let me out of her sight. I had to hold her hand or give her piggyback rides or do something the entire time we were there. So that's my new best friend, Hallie.
That's fine. Hey, listen, with friends like that, you're doing well.
She was definitely the attention seeker. So all eyes were on her anyway, and all she wanted to do was hang out with me. So
that's cool.
That's pretty cool. Yeah.
Did she go to the petting zoo?
Yeah, that was funny. I got pictures of her feeding the goats. And she was really, she's very, democratic about it. She wanted to feed almost every goat there was. And of course, when a goat gets some milk, he doesn't want to let go. So she was like, okay, that's enough. That's your turn. Trying to get to the next goat. And like, all she has is a small bottle of milk.
Goats are aggressive.
Yeah. They actually tried to eat her dress. So.
I believe that. I definitely believe that.
I saved two goats' lives too, by the way.
How?
They got their, they would put their neck through the fence, and in the middle it was a wide opening, and then they would move down the fence, and then they'd get their, because their horns, they'd get stuck. I actually had to walk a couple goats down back towards the middle so they could get their head out of the fence.
Gotcha. All right. Well, welcome back. We did miss you. We obviously survived. Yes, you were listening. Yes, we got your messages while you were out of town working out in the hotel gym, but thanks anyway. Let's take a quick break here. We'll, we got a lot to get to on their side. Stay where you're at. This is for a shift on 1310 WDTW. I'm Tony Truppiano, and, we'll continue with, first shift right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Looking good so far on your commute. Just watching construction, like on 23 Mile Road in both directions between North Avenue and Gratiot for road construction. And Ann Arbor Road westbound heading to the 275 northbound ramp. That's closed until late July. And don't forget about that water main work on Finkel, just east of Livernois. And 24 Mile Road in both directions between Jewel Road and Shaner. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Sweeten up your day with a McDonald's frozen strawberry lemonade. Sweet strawberries and tangy lemons mixed together for a unique drink every time. Starting at just $1.69. McDonald's, I'm loving it.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First shift with Tony Truppiano. Jim Peterson. You just retired, so why would you want to step up into this role of candidate and ultimately, of course, with the goal of being elected to the state house?
Well, Tony, after watching this train wreck of a legislature and governor stumble from one anti-union thing, anti-worker thing, anti-retiree thing to the next, I couldn't not do it.
On 1310 WDTW.
Unless you hang out in posh watering holes with America's far-right billionaires, chances are that you don't know Diane Hendricks. But Scott Walker, Wisconsin's anti-middle-class union-whacking governor, knows her and loves her. A lot. In fact, Scott loves Diane at least $500,000 worth. That's how much the heiress to ABC Supply, the nation's largest roofing and siding wholesaler, has put down so far on Walker's desperate effort to avoid being only the third governor in U.S. history to lose a recall election. His day of reckoning is tomorrow, and his last bastion of support is a phalanx of union-hating out-of-state billionaires like Hendricks and the infamous Koch brothers, who've erected a multimillion-dollar wall of money around him. We've spent a lot of money in Wisconsin, deadpan David Koch of New York City. We've gotten pretty good at this over the years, he boasted of his extremist political attack machine, adding that we're going to spend more. As of last week, Scott had amassed $30 million from friends like David, a sum comparable to what Mitt Romney's campaign raised to win the GOP presidential nomination. Such Koch cronies as the DeVos family, founders of the Amway marketing empire, chipped in $250,000 for the right-wing's nationwide Save Scott campaign. And Foster Freeze, the evangelical billionaire who dumped a ton of cash on Rick Santorum's theocratic run for the presidency this year, is in for $100,000. This is Jim Hightower saying, there's an old rule in business. If you don't have any sense behind you, pour in dollars. From the Edsel to New Coke, and now to Scott Walker. The strategy has been to overcome all product defaults with PR cash. Tomorrow, we'll see what Coke cash can buy. And if it buys the governorship of Wisconsin, look out where you live.
Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
First word.
First thoughts. First with the news and newsmakers that matter to you.
First shift on 1310 WDTW.
with Tony Trupiano.
Well, everywhere you turn these days, whether it's television or radio or newspapers, K2 are spiced, and should be, the prevalent conversation. You know, it makes you wonder. We're going to ask Representative Harvey Santana when he gets here this morning. How is it that the state legislature, especially the Republicans, can rush through all this legislation with immediate effect that has attacked the middle class, yet when it comes to something like banning a substance like K2 or spice, we don't seem to see any activity at all? How does that happen? I really don't know. I don't know the answer to that question. This first report we share with you is from Fox 2 on the local problem that is known as K2 or spice.
Protesters gather in Shelby Township for a fight against K2. Fox 2 News has been reporting the dangers of the synthetic drugs sold at many gas stations across the state and across the nation. As Roop Raj reports, some emotional parents showed up today.
I personally came into your store throwing a picture of my son to you, begging you, my son Zachary, please don't sell. You knew who he was. You knew who his friends were.
An emotional plea in front of the very Sitco station that many of these Shelby Township parents say their kids bought synthetic designer drugs from in the past.
It is wrong of us to ask that we didn't know the dangers of it. We did it at the time. Nobody did.
And an equally emotional gas station manager apologizing for selling it to kids like this. 15-year-old Cody Watson took K2 and risked his life.
What about other gas stations outside of Sitco that are still selling this? What do you tell them?
Tell them that this is our kids that are doing this stuff, and you're letting them hurt themselves. It's like, why?
All Sitco stations across the nation demanding its stores stop selling it as of Friday because of a report on Fox 2. But anger lingers over damage these parents say is already done to kids in Shelby Township who bought it from this Van Dyke store. As tempers rose, gas prices dropped almost 30 cents in the hopes the demonstrators wouldn't block people from a bargain.
In addition to the protest, the township supervisor is stopping by, not just as the head of Shelby Township, but also as a dad. He's vowing to all these parents to stop what's happening, and he says it's going to start with an announcement they plan to make this difficult to sell.
This ordinance will prevent this K2 from being sold in its current state. Now, I'm sure that these people will probably change formulas and on and on, but we are going to do what we can do to keep this out of Shelby Township.
Legislation to ban drugs like K2 may take time, and so parents asking, pleading.
And I don't care what it takes. Please protect our kids.
And we are. That's why I'm here, and that's exactly what I'm going to do, I promise.
Well, I can't. At some level, you know, children, if they want something, they're going to get their hands on it. That's issue number one. Issue number two is this is the devastating effects of this stuff is obvious, whether it's the Cipriano case or any of the cases that we've heard about, read about, seen on television that are related directly or indirectly to K2 or spice. Very problematic, very troublesome. This is a legal substance sold as incense, is my understanding. I think you do have a moral obligation as a proprietor of any store, whether that's a gas station, a party store, whatever, wherever, take it off the shelves. Until our communities or our state finally steps up and does something. Now, legislatively, ordinance-wise, at the local level, they can ban the sale of it. Yeah, they absolutely can. This must be, again, we listened to especially the moms that were interviewed in that piece. You can hear, you can feel the emotion in their voice. Of course you can. It's just awful. It's awful what's happening. My heart goes out to these families. Truly it does.
And the other story that we mentioned or we talked about before the show was that even gas stations will put the signs up saying we don't sell K2, which is technically true, but there's also a lot of very similar products out there.
The people that manufacture this stuff, Jeff, they obviously know what they're doing. They know what they're doing. They don't do this
just to sell it as incense, and you and I both know it. Now, no one's going to admit to that, of course. Everybody's going to say, no, we just, you know, we produce it as incense, and that's what it's, you know, it says right on the package, not meant for human consumption. Can't help it if kids turn around and stuff it in a pipe and smoke it anyway. You know, that's not my fault. I don't know that I buy that.
So what do you think? I mean, they still have a right to sell incense, if that's what it is. And do you think that there should be, I mean, like, cigarettes are the same, well, not the same thing.
No, definitely not the same
but
thing.
But they will cause harm, and you have to be a certain age to know how to handle that, I guess. Should there be an age limit on what you can
No.
buy, or do you just think get rid of it completely?
They need to get rid of it. They just need to ban it completely. It's the way that this herbal, whatever it is being treated, is my understanding. What turns it into a dangerous substance is they are treating it with some kind of chemical that mimics THC, which is the active component in marijuana. Well, and it's that synthetic treatment that is causing the psychotropic effect, ergo, making people do pretty whacked out things that marijuana wouldn't make you do.
Let me play devil's advocate, sure. or perhaps, and let me know if I'm off base or you know, taking it too far for an exaggeration, but wasn't there a time when people would take magic markers and sniff them or huff them or whatever? I don't know exactly what the term is.
It was sniffing back then. It wasn't huffing.
Okay. And then so that's not the intended purpose of Crayola or whoever makes the magic marker. And yet that was a side effect that people were doing. And actually, that can cause a lot of brain damage, right, if you do it too often?
If you do it too often, yeah, absolutely.
So, I mean, is the comparison fair to compare K2, which is it has a purpose, incense? Although, if you're burning it as incense, maybe you don't get enough of it, but that would still have crazy pop?
I don't know. I just don't have the answer to that. Now, again, I look at it. It's sold in like a baggie or a package. When I think of incense, I think of a stick that you light the end of it
too.
And it burns. Okay, so that's what this stuff reminds me more of potpourri, which is something that you would put in water and then you heat the water and then it, of course, emits a scent. So that would be different to me than burning it, right? Because what I've seen of K2... it's not something that you burn. It would be something more like potpourri that you would. But again, I don't know that to be a fact because I've never experienced it, so I don't know. It's different than the magic marker scenario to me in that it is so much more harmful. I mean, we're talking about thousands of documented cases where people become something other than what they are psychologically. After smoking this stuff, I don't ever remember hearing this about people sniffing magic markers. Not that I'm suggesting that's the better path. Of course I'm not.
Right, no.
Nor were you. It's just, this is out of control, and we need to do something.
And I think the biggest thing, too, is that you didn't know until, I guess, maybe recently, or you know, people just didn't have the education. Like, a kid would be like, oh, this is the legal form of something else that I can't get my hands on.
Well, this is not the first time there has been a legal substance that is a substitute for marijuana. I mean, this is not the first time that's happened. This one, though, seems to be deadly. I mean, you know, that's maybe where the difference is the effects of this, can actually create some kind of reaction, chemical reaction in you that can cause death, but certainly we've seen, again, from a psychotropic standpoint, that it changes your brain chemistry and certainly makes you act out and manifest in ways that you obviously wouldn't normally be, right? I mean, that's what we're seeing.
Yeah, that's what I'm assuming.
Wow. Yeah, just crazy. I mean, this is just crazy. So I'm just my hope and my prayer is that we get this thing worked out. My hope and my prayer is that we, if it's the appropriate thing to ban it, that it gets banned. That those that, and again, a lot of gas stations are voluntarily taking off the shelves. But, Jeff, you make an important point because there was a gas station right here at 13 and Orchard Lake Road that had a sign up that says that they didn't sell K2, but they were selling similar type, quote-unquote, incenses. And so we need to be a little bit careful here. We need to be a little bit careful. And ultimately, this is about protecting our children. And let's be honest about it. 14, 15, 16, maybe a little older, maybe a little younger. Don't assume that they know right from wrong. Don't assume that they're not going to be tempted by this stuff. Don't make that assumption. Don't make that assumption that hearing all of these reports, they're going to go, well, I'll never do that. Don't assume that.
You know what else I think gets assumed is that because it's legal, that it's safe. Even though it's not for the purpose that it was initially intended, because I think some people would be like, okay, that's illegal. Well, here's an alternative. And yet, if you can sell it in a gas station, then it must be safe.
No question there are people that are going to think that. Absolutely. If it's legal, it must be safe. And we now know definitively that's not true. We know that is not true. So we need to be very, very careful. Again, we need to, you know, sometimes you got to police your kids. Sometimes you just have to do that. As much as you don't want to do that, especially at that age, kids don't want to be policed. They don't want you watching them. Well, sometimes you got to be a parent.
And in that story, that parent was pleading with the gas station, don't sell this to my kid. And, of course, the gas station trying to make profits, and probably it's not, they're thinking it's not my job to police your kid. But, I mean, they were telling him, hey, look, my kid is addicted to this. We're trying everything to get him off, and yet, you know, don't sell it to him, and they still did.
All right, let's take a quick break here. And I believe Harvey is desperately trying to get us, but calling my office phone instead of my cell phone. So we're going to find him and get him in the building. And, Tom, in Detroit, you are up. After we take this quick break, stay with us, folks.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
We'll welcome Theo in Detroit.
Well, thank you, Tony. I want to tell you I appreciate the fact that you bring information that we might not otherwise hear anyplace else.
On 1310 WDTW.
Hi, Tony Trupiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org, that's www.thetonyshow.org, and click on the register to vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So, if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310wdtw.com today.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hillers, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Recently on First Shift.
Joining me now is Brian Miller, co-author of the book Self-Made Myth and executive director of United for a Fair Economy.
Broadly speaking, the work of United for a Fair Economy, we work with, as you mentioned, we do work with labor, we do work with community groups, we do work with low-income groups that are organizing for greater equality and a more broadly shared prosperity, but we also work with these business leaders, and that's really about that cross-class organizing that we strive to do, it because there's a role for everyone in this work. Garrett Gruner, founder of Ask.com, the internet search engine, he has this wonderful op-ed in LA Times where he talked about no amount of tax breaks to the wealthy Americans are going to stimulate the economy if there's not a middle class capable of buying the products that are being made. And that there's a point when inequality gets so great that the economy, even if you don't care about values, the economy simply cannot sustain itself.
First Shift with Tony Triano on 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
You're listening to Michigan's only live and local progressive talk radio show.
Give us a call.
1-888-552-3595.
Welcome back to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 10 minutes before the top of the hour. We are going to go directly to the phones, but if you care to join us, 888-552-3595. That's 888-552-3595. Tony at thetonyshow.org. On Twitter, at Tony Trupiano. We go to Tom in Detroit. Good morning, my friend. I hope you had a nice weekend.
Oh, it was fantastic. It was great. But I say this, anytime you open up your eyes, it's a good day.
There you go.
But anyway, that aside, you know, in terms of what you were talking about, this K2 stuff and altering, you know, those who have taken their state of being, it's called a drug-induced psychosis. I worked mental health work for a long time, and I remember when crack came into being, we started hearing about crack around about 1983, 84, somewhere about there, and man, people were, they were coming in there, and like no kind of history. Of, you know, any kind of mental illness, some of them. And, you know, once they did that crack, I mean, it was all downhill just about from there. I mean, not with all of them, but a sizable portion of them. But, you know, that stuff, it just needs to be banned, period. And I applaud those, you know, the people out in wherever it was that they were doing the protesting and, you know, approaching these gas stations. I applaud those folks because, I mean, if you mess around and wait around here on lawmakers to do something, I mean, it takes them God and forever, I mean, unless they want to attack teachers and the union to get something done. You know, that stuff, I mean, you know, I heard about, well, the Cipriano case. And that kind of thing. And that is just, I mean, that's a terrible tragedy when you got kids out here smoking, what is it, supposedly incense?
Yeah.
I mean, come on, let's get real here. And I mean, you know, you got to be real, not bright, to not see that on the package that it says, you know, not for consumption, okay? But I mean, you know, hey, you know, we're all, you know, you make choices. And you also mentioned about policing kids, Tony. When that child was conceived, that gave us the right, from the cradle, almost somewhat in a manner of speaking, to the grave, to police our children.
You're not going to get an argument out of me.
You know what? I mean, you know, going through this thing called life, and, you know, when they, as my mother say, they start smelling themselves, you know, they think they know it all, and, I mean, my God, we're standing at the end of the road watching them walk up and can just about, you know, tell them every crook and, you know, turn that they're going to take.
You know, Tom, I remember when I first heard about huffing, and I thought to myself, there's no kid in their right mind, once they know the effects of that, that will ever do that more than once, right? Well, I was wrong. How stupid was I?
It's kind of like, well, you know, it's not going to happen to me. You know, that kind of mentality.
Right.
But, you know, but, listen, if it happened to somebody else, guess what? Just like with crack, they say once you, the first time you do crack, you're done. I mean, and I'm not necessarily saying that you're not going to be productive again, but, you know, until you can get somewhere and get yourself cooled out, you're going to be, you know, strung out for a long time. And in a manner of speaking, you're not going to be productive.
No, there's no question that's true. Tom, appreciate the call. Always appreciate your point of view. You bet. This is critically important stuff. And we stop and think about, you know, this idea that, well, once my kids understand the effects of this, if you tell them what happened to the Cipriano family, my kid would never smoke that stuff because that could happen to them. They would never allow that to happen to them. Think again. Think again. That's exactly the kind of thing where they get defiant. They say, well, that won't happen to me. And don't tell me that they don't think that way, because they do. This is scary stuff. I mean, this is really, really scary stuff, and we need to be very, very careful. So as if you're a parent and you have any reason at all, folks, I need you to go online. I need you to look at this package. I need you to know what this stuff is. So if it is in your house, or you see it in the garbage can, the package, you need to know what it is we're talking about. Because it is legal. Your kid, your 10-year-old kid could go buy this stuff. Are you listening to what we're saying right now? You need to be aware of what's going on, and you need to be the legislature in your own home.
And the hard part is they keep changing the packaging. So, I mean, any kind of suspicious packaging, check it out.
You're right, Jeff. Anything that's foreign, anything that you would say, why would my kid have this? You've got a reason to be concerned. And don't do this. I trust, you know, listen, I trust my kids too. My kids are adults. They're all adults. You need to be aware of what's happening. It's your house. I don't care how old your kids are. It's your house. You have a right to do in your house what you want to do in your house, period. This is scary stuff. Wow. Yeah, I'm just crazy. And Tom's right, Jeff, when crack came into existence, you know, it was, you know, the problem with it, Jeff, it was so inexpensive. That's what the problem was. Anybody could afford it, and sure enough, it was that highly addictive.
What's going on? Remember the story we did last week? And I don't mean to just spring this on you, but the one in Miami of the zombie. I mean, it's the same kind of thing—a drug-induced state of psychosis. And suddenly, I mean, that's all people wanted to talk about this weekend. Is did you hear the crazy thing that's going on? I thought it was, is it like a new form of heroin or something?
Again, something along those lines. And for those that don't know, and I don't know if we did talk about it on air. I know we talked about it off air. The guy that was actually found eating somebody's face. He was actually mowing on someone's face.
To the point where they had to shoot and kill him to get him to stop.
Right. I mean, they could not stop him, and he didn't know what he was doing. Wow. Yeah, and, you know, the point, obviously, part of the point that needs to be made here, even rational people find themselves in this, you know, this heightened state of drug-induced psychosis, and they go over the edge. They don't realize that it's happening to themselves. I'm sorry, that in and of itself would scare the bejesus out of me. But maybe that's just me. Kind of crazy. Kind of crazy. Not kind of. It's just insane. Folks, pay attention. Please pay attention. You know, for the sake of your family, you know, we're going to hear much more about this with the grandmother, the Hoffman case. The grandmother killed the grandson. He was smoking K2, is our understanding. He also knew the Cipriano kid, which that's just a coincidence. There's no correlation between these two cases that I'm aware of than that. But the common denominator there is K2. And Jeff, as I'm sure you're aware, and we are now aware, both of these the Cipriano kid was high that night on K2. He had been smoking that night. This is scary. This is really, really scary stuff. I don't know that we can underscore how important it is you pay attention. All right, we have to take a break here for the top of the hour. State Representative Harvey Santana is here, and we will look forward to inviting him into the studio and talking to him in the next hour. A little bit later on, Hans Barbet will be with us from the Occupy movement. We'll also visit with Mark Brewer from the Michigan Democratic Party and Chris Savage with the Collective Blog in our Blog Roll segment. So we've got a lot to get to, and hopefully some more audio as well. Stay where you're at. Stay where you're at. There's a lot to do, and I'd like to include you in it. This is First Shift. I am Tony Trupiano. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW right after this.
WDTW Continuous Traffic Watch.
Checking your roadway, just some construction notes to let you know about. Coolidge Highway northbound between 10 Mile and 11 Mile, that's closed for road construction until September. Also, Ann Arbor Road westbound at the 275 northbound ramp, that's closed until late July. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today. Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet. Hey, it's Anthony from First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Weekdays 6 to 9 right here on 1310 WDTW. Dearborn, Detroit. NBC News is next.
NBC News Radio, I'm Chris Jansing. Political eyes on Wisconsin. Polls show tomorrow's recall election is close. Republican Governor Scott Walker hanging on to a slim lead. And according to NBC's Mike Vaccara, both sides are spending a fortune.
A record $64 million has been spent on the recall, much of it from out-of-state unions and their opponents nationwide. National figures on both sides have weighed in, including Bill Clinton, who campaigned with the challenger Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barry.
World markets are taking a beating today as the weak U.S. jobs report has investors questioning the economic recovery. On Wall Street, stock futures are lower following Friday's dive. Energy prices continue to slide, crude oil dipping below $82 a barrel, while gas prices are down 21 cents from a month ago, $3.58 for regular. And when it comes to the box office, Snow White is the fairest of them all. The latest twist on the Grimm Brothers fairy tale, Snow White and the Huntsman, raked in $56 million over the weekend. This is NBC News Radio. Back in jail in Sanford, Florida, George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer charged with murder in the killing of unarmed teen Trayvon Martin, had his bond revoked. The judge says Zimmerman and his wife lied to the court about their finances so he could get a lower bond. NBC's Jay Gray.
The decision came after prosecutors argued that during his initial bond hearing, Zimmerman and his wife hid the fact that they had raised money for his defense through a website.
Tragedy in Nigeria, where a Dana air flight slammed into a densely populated area of Lagos, killing all 153 people aboard and untold numbers on the ground. The pilots radioed engine trouble moments before the plane slammed into buildings. And a battle over cigarette taxes has big tobacco fuming in California. The industry amassing nearly $50 million to fight a measure championed by cycling star Lance Armstrong. It would slap an additional $1 a pack tax on tobacco products to fund cancer research. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Chris Jansing, NBC News Radio.
Last season was the Gulf's best tourism season in years.
All because so many people came to Louisiana.
They came to see us in Florida.
Make that Alabama.
Make that Mississippi.
Hi, this is Karen Sock from Biloxi, Mississippi.
This is Ron Hardy from Panama City, Florida.
Hey, this is Cheryl Zister in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
This is Bill Kearney from New Orleans, Louisiana.
The best part of the Gulf is wherever you choose. And now's a great time to discover it.
This is a cordial invitation to visit the Gulf Coast.
Brought to you by BP and all of us. Call the Gulf home.
It's time to move toward a different kind of communications company. We're CenturyLink, and we're committed to help with reliable technology, personal service, and 24/7 tech support for your home and 24/7 network reliability monitoring for your business. And we'll continue to free you from hassles with real choice and flexibility and a price lock guarantee. Focus on what matters to you and get the most from your technology. Find out more about our honest and fair communication solutions at CenturyLink.com. CenturyLink, your link to what's next.
Following a couple of years of falling sales of both consoles and game titles, the video game industry needs a new start. It is now looking to Nintendo. This week at the big Electronics Entertainment Expo, the maker of the Wii game console is going to debut the next version, the Wii U. Last Friday's dismal May employment report showing less than half the job creation expected and an unexpected tick higher in the unemployment rate has prompted some to suggest it's time for the Fed to consider monetary stimulus, the so-called QE, again. But 2 weeks ahead of the next scheduled Fed policy meeting, members of the Open Market Committee signal it is not time for such a move. Cleveland Fed Bank President Sandra Pinalto tells the Wall Street Journal the bad jobs report by itself does not change her assessment of the overall economy. Terrible market day in Asia. Japan's Nikkei fell 2% today. European markets are mixing it up, as are we. S&P futures up 2, Dow futures down 6. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You've probably seen me being interviewed on CNBC, Bloomberg, or Fox TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the markets. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade, and I've been on the floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail, call 800-827-0407, and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report at no cost to you. Again, just leave me your email address on my voicemail at 800-827-0407. That's 800-827-0407.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Last season was the Gulf's best tourism season in years.
All because so many people came to Louisiana.
They came to see us in Florida.
Make that Alabama.
Make that Mississippi.
Hi, this is Karen Sock from Biloxi, Mississippi.
This is Ron Hardy from Panama City, Florida.
Hey, this is Cheryl Zisler in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
This is Bill Kearney from New Orleans, Louisiana.
The best part of the Gulf is wherever you choose. And now's a great time to discover it.
This is a cordial invitation to visit the Gulf Coast.
Brought to you by BP and all of us. Call the Gulf home.
My daughter swims like she's part fish, but when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There were lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we both.
The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
It's the same each time with Progress. First they ignore you. Then they say you're mad. Then dangerous. Then there's a pause. And then you can't find anyone who disagrees with you. Welcome to your new reality. Welcome to your new opportunity. Welcome to your new hope. Welcome to First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back if that is indeed the case, or welcome if you're just joining us. 6 minutes after 7 o'clock on this Monday, the fourth day of June 2012. I keep on talking about how quickly time is going by. The first day of summer, just a few weeks off, and we're off to the races already. Enjoy what is going to be, a fairly nice day weather-wise. In the meantime, we've got an important hour of radio to bring to you. Of course, we'll visit with our Occupy crew at 7:50, but before then, we have important work to do. So let us get our introductions out of the way and get this hour going.
Uncommon in his approach and starkly honest in his words.
Chairman Daly on the House floor says, look, you got to be careful what you say. Says, what the hell are you talking about? Says, some people took offense to your comments. I says, look, I raise issues.
First Shift welcomes back to our airwaves legislative leadership that is unique.
I'm not going to back down. If I see something wrong, I'm going to say it because that's what the people of the 10th District sent me up there to do.
From the 10th District, State Representative Harvey Santana.
And we do welcome back to First Shift, State Representative Harvey Santana. Harvey, it's always a pleasure to have you with us. Another month goes by. You realize now it's been a full year. We started this June of last year with our monthly fireside chats with you, and it's gone by quickly, and I've enjoyed it. So welcome to year two.
Well, thank you. Good morning, everyone in 1310 world, and ready, locked, loaded, ready to rock and roll.
Let's. I want to just jump in if we can with some legislation. There's a lot of stuff that I want to get to today, but House Resolution 5668. Of course, that in and of itself tells people nothing. But State Representative Maureen Stapleton, and I'll let you explain it because you'll do a much better job of it than I will. But this has been bothering me since I read about it well over a week ago. So tell us what HR 5668 is all about.
Well, what this bill does and what Maureen Stapleton has introduced is a bill that would effectively create a public lighting authority in the city of Detroit. This is something that was not a surprise to me. We've been hearing about it as Detroit representatives for quite some time. We had a meeting in the mayor's office about this particular situation and this particular bill. I wasn't at that meeting, but nevertheless, the mayor made his pitch that we needed to move the city's public lighting system out of control of city hands and into this public lighting authority. Which, to be honest with you, Tony, on the surface of it, I'm not 100% against it. I mean, look, if the city's not good at doing something, then put it in the hands of someone that, can do it better. However, what's the old saying? The devil's in the details. When you start looking through this and you start asking questions, and some of the most fundamental questions that I ask is, who's going to be affected and how are they going to be treated as a result of this? Until you can answer that question, then I'm not signing on. And so the mayor right now has proposed to cut half the street lights off in the city of Detroit, half of them. So what happens to those poor...
And this is permanently cutting them off. I mean, this is actually dismantling them, taking them down, not just not lighting them, but eliminating them totally.
And so where do you do this? And you hear it repeatedly. There are areas in the city of Detroit that are sparsely populated, and we can't afford to deliver services to those areas. So is light one of those services? And so what do you do about that 80-year-old grandmother that's been living in that house for 60 years? You just say, sorry for your luck. You should have made more money in this world. Your lights are getting shut off. Does she then have to pay the tax because she's not getting a service? Does she still have to pay a tax if she's not getting cops going into there because they're too scared for their own lives, going into a desolate area with no lights? That's fundamentally my problem. The other problem, Tony, that I find with this bill is that this creates a quasi-level form of government. A form of government that now has a power to go out and leverage debt, issue debt, bond debt, $160 million worth of debt. Now, wait a minute. Stop. Last year, Tony, we were hearing people in the Capitol scream, this is what democracy looks like. Why? Because this thing called Public Act 4 went into effect.
Right.
We were debating an emergency manager law. The argument that was used by the other side was that we needed to get our local government's financial houses in order because the state's not coming in to bail them out. The state has its own deficits, blah, blah, blah. And so this is why we're creating Public Act 4. We objected to it. The whole purpose was to balance Detroit's books. And so the city council went and agreed to a consent agreement, which I didn't agree with. But wait a minute, that was to balance the books. Now what you've created is a system where an entity still under the city of Detroit in a kind of sort of way, it has the ability to go out and get the city in more debt. And now the way that they're, and I've seen this before on a New York street corner, it's called three-card money. You know, when you try to find where the ace of spades is and the guy fools you because of his sleight of hand. So now what they're going to try to do is take money from this utility user's tax, 30% of that, shove that towards the public lighting authority, and take money from a state income, the income tax that the mayor wants the state to collect, and use those sources of funding to pay off the debt on these bonds. Again, it's three-card money, and at the end of it, if something happens, who gets put on the hook? Detroit taxpayers. And what do you get out of it? From right now, from what I can see, nothing. Because half the lights are going to get shut off. Some of these neighborhoods are going to be blight by announcement. It's eminent domain by announcement because you shut off all the power. And so from my perspective, I have to look at this and say, well, who's standing up for the poor people in these areas? Nobody. Not this bill. Because the bill doesn't speak to it, and the bill is not intended to speak to it.
And I'm not going to ask you to speak for Representative Stapleton. That's not what you're here for, or other members of the Detroit delegation, because that's not what you're here for. But I will ask you to speak for yourself, and I'm going to ask what I think is an obvious question. It's at some point, I would think that those that represent the city districts would get together. I would think that you would dialogue with one another and say, okay, what's best for the city. I don't understand, and maybe I need to go pull Maureen Stapleton's campaign finance reports to find out who's paying her off, but to me, this just smells, Harvey. It smells like something I don't like.
Well, I'm not going to speak bad about Maureen. I respect Maureen. I think her heart's in the right place. I think her head's in the right place. I think she effectively wants to make a difference in a positive way. We had a conversation. It was very cordial, very professional, and she's prepared to defend her bill, as she should be. I just find some fatal flaws with this from a number of different levels, and I'm not the only one. Out of 12 Detroit reps, 3 people signed on to it. The other 9 have stayed off. And in the Senate, I'm not sure, but by my count, I think there'll be at least 2, if not 3, senators that won't sign on to it until these issues that I just raised are addressed. And the other thing about it is, too, is anytime you create an authority, to me, the people lose control. Look, we've got a port authority. I couldn't name one member. We've got an education authority. I couldn't name one member of that board. We've got a public zoo authority, if you will.
Right.
Couldn't name one member out of that. And so who do I blame when the streetlights don't come on? I don't know who to blame anymore. At least now I know who to go after. It's public lighting department.
Right.
And so I think there are a lot of issues here. There are other issues, you know, over at public lighting. I think there are about 12 employees. Now, people say, oh, so what is 12 employees? I don't care. That's 12 lives. 12 people who are working very hard to make sure that their families get fed, that their bills get paid. What do we do with those folks? No one's answered that. And the other thing is, and the biggest thing, I think that there's a lot of hypocrisy here. We fought so hard to avoid an emergency manager because the city was in debt and the emergency manager law and the intent of it was to get someone in there that wasn't political, that wasn't going to do anything based off a political decision, and they were going to go in and fix these books. Well, how does creating $160 million worth of debt help that? It doesn't.
It doesn't. And Representative Santana, that really is the issue here. I had Ed McNeil on, who I believe you know from AFSCME, and Ed was representing a coalition of City of Detroit unions that took a look at what was happening financially, and they came up with their own plan, which the mayor wouldn't meet with them on. In fact, Ed was kind enough to give me a complete documentation. It was a pretty thick proposal as to how they could have saved over $300 million for the city, avoiding a consent agreement, avoiding an emergency financial manager, and yet nobody's listening to them. And so you have to wonder, maybe they have a solution to this problem as well, and nobody's listening to them.
You know, I said this last week, and I tried to send out a press release. But here's my quote of the day, if you will. The only way to get through hell is to walk right through it and take on everything in your path. The mayor, city council members, house reps, house senators, we all knew the job we signed up for when we took. We knew that these challenges were tough. That's why we took the job. To punt the ball and say, we can't do anything with this anymore. Here's the latest version of what we're going to do, and we're going to wash our hands of it. I think that's cowardly.
Let's take a break. We don't have a choice, so we are going to take a break. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. Feel free to join us, 888-552-3595. A lot to get to as we work our way through this hour. We will take the break and be right back. Stay with us.
First Shift with Tony Triano.
Well, the United States has a huge budget deficit, so taxes are going to have to go up. And I certainly agree they should go up more on the rich than everyone else. That's just justice.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your ride, the volumes have picked up, and that's causing slow traffic over on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. 696 westbound between Ryan Road and 75 is a slow go, and it's busy over on 75 southbound between 12 Mile Road and 696. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift Weather.
Hi, Tony Truppiano here. One of my pet projects for 2012 is to get those of you who have yet to register to vote to do just that. If you are connected to the Internet, I have made it very easy for you to register. Just go to www.thetonyshow.org. That's www.thetonyshow.org and click on the Register to Vote button that is prominently displayed on the homepage. Now, there are no excuses, and it only takes a few minutes, and it's free as well. So if you have to register to vote, I am not concerned as to why, but I am concerned if you don't do it now. Again, just go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the button that says register to vote right here. We all care about our democracy, but if you are not registered to vote, then no matter how passionate you are, without voting or having the ability to vote, it's honestly just complaining, and we have all had enough of that. Again, go to www.thetonyshow.org and click on the register to vote button now and register.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Joining me now is Congressman Gary Peters. He, of course,
does not make any sense that in July that the interest rate that students will have to pay on their Stafford loans will double from 3.4% to 6.8%, adding an additional burden on those students who are already racking up debts as a result of the high cost of the college education. But you just think about it, at a time when you can get long-term 30-year mortgages for 4%, and you can have treasury bonds or treasuries at about 2% for a 10-year treasury, why you would charge 6.8% to student loans on federally subsidized loans. It does not make any sense given where interest rates are right now. And it certainly places a burden, an additional burden, on our students who are moving to get ahead in life.
On 1310 WDTW. Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family. And UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Merlin Olsen, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contest.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook, and also follow us
at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Got a question or comment? Call now.
888-552-3595.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on 1310 WDTW.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 7 o'clock. State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. If you care to join us, 888-552-3595. Let's have an honest conversation about the future of the city of Detroit. You care deeply about the city that you love, and you represent more than just the city of Detroit, but it is a significant portion of your district, or your new district. Even if you didn't live in the city of Detroit, I know you well enough to know that you understand the importance of Detroit to the region, which means that what you do represent, the entirety of either your old district or the new district, it's critical that Detroit succeed. Are the right people paying attention to what's going on? I mean, we see in the paper yesterday that now the city attorney's challenging the consent agreement. Is this the right path for us to be taking? Are we having the right conversation, Representative Santana? Or is this thing so out of control that we kind of need to blow it up and start from scratch? I don't know what the answer is. I'm just asking your opinion.
I think that, And I see all the frustration in you, and that's the frustration we wake up with every day. I think that the conversations are being had, but I think that it's a selective group of people who are having those conversations about Detroit's future. I could tell you that the way we're treated as reps and as senators is when the decision gets made and they need our input, they come to us with bills and say, okay, we need to move these things. Here's your talking points. Go forward. Wait a minute. No, that's not how you do, you know, business with Harvey Santana. You know, you bring me in the very beginning, because now I'm going to have to read this bill, go over it, and figure out what you're not telling me. And that's the complications with some of these bills. Like with this public lighting authority bill, you know when I found out about the actual text of this bill? When it came up online on the newspaper. I don't know if it was the Free Press.
It was the Free Press.
The Free Press. Then when I downloaded it, that's when I got a copy of the bill. because throughout this entire conversation, I kept saying, show me a bill, show me a bill. I don't know what I can and cannot agree to until you show me a bill. That's when I got the bill. And then I was asked, would you co-sponsor this? No, I'm not going to co-sponsor something I didn't read or something I barely understand. It's something that directly affects so many people in my district and throughout the city of Detroit. To a larger extent, look, let's not hide from the facts. Detroit lost a quarter of its population in the last 10 years. By my estimate, it might lose another quarter of the population if we don't stop the hemorrhaging. The finances aren't going to get any easier to deal with. So this is a time for you to become innovative. This is a time for you to reinvent. This is a time for you to use the governor's word, reset. That's why from the onset of this discussion, I said, look, I'm not 100% against an authority. But what I am 100% against is anyone getting screwed out of the deal. And those people being the residents. Look, if you're going to shut off the lights in an area, move the people out. Give them money to relocate to another area of that's dense in the city of Detroit. Give them their moving location. Give them some safe, decent, and sanitary, and let them go live their life. But if you're going to shut off this area, don't leave the people in the dark. That's not what we do as Democrats.
What happened to that conversation, Harvey? I mean, I remember that conversation a few years back where, there was going to be a serious discussion about moving people around, putting more people in areas so it would be easier to police them and easier to light them and easier to care for them and provide garbage services, whatever. What happened to that conversation?
I think that conversation has become this thing that the mayor calls Detroit Works. I call it City Broke. I don't understand what they're trying to do with Detroit Works. It's never been explained to me. I just get a pamphlet that said, here, read this, and I read it, and it's Urban Planning 101. So, to me, I think that the conversation needs to just get elevated. Make the decision. Draw the line. This neighborhood, this area is no longer going to be a neighborhood. We're going to move those people out. Make that decision. And once you make that decision, you stop having people's lives be weighed in the balance, and now they can start saying, okay, where is it that we want to go?
All right, so this is the conversation that I'd like to have with you right now. You're into retail politics. You like going door to door.
Yes,
sir. This is something you enjoy doing. You enjoy being with your constituents.
Absolutely.
You're one of them. That's why. You don't see yourself as, you have never elevated yourself as to, I'm better than. You're one of them. You live in the area. I mean, obviously you live where you represent. So let me just ask you the question. I know you're knocking doors. You're in the middle of a campaign. What are the people, especially in the city of Detroit part of your district, saying about their future?
People just want the basics. They want to know that a cop will show up to the house if they call. They want to know that their streetlights work. They want to know that their garbage is going to get picked up. They want to know if the house is on fire, that someone's going to come to put it out. They want to know that there's a vacant lot that the city or someone's going to come and, mow the grass, that abandoned house finally gets dealt with. People just want the basic. They want a city that's basically livable. That's it. They don't want more. Most people don't hang out at City Hall four or five times a week. They try to avoid the place if at all possible. And within the city, what people are telling me when I knock on their doors is, what am I getting for my tax dollar? I pay all these taxes. What do I get in return? That's the basic level of frustration that people have. And as a rep, a lot of times I get thrown into city politics and municipal management.
You're right, you do.
Because people are so frustrated with what they're not receiving that when a guy like me shows up at the door, they say, well, here's the help that I need. Let's put it on this guy. And so I'm obligated at that point to try to help them in the best way I know how.
In a way, you've become an ombudsman for the city. You really don't have much of a choice. Let's take a quick call before we get to the break at the bottom of the hour. 888-552-3595. State Representative Harvey Santana, my guest. We welcome Mike in Plymouth to the show. Mike, you're on the air with State Representative Santana.
Yeah, good morning. Yeah, I made a move. This is Mike from formerly of Westland, now in Plymouth, Tony. Haven't talked to you in a long time. I would ask the rep this. I think he makes the point that it's going around these houses, knocking on doors, and people are saying, what are they getting for their tax dollars? The problem is there's not enough people living within the city of Detroit when he's knocking on those doors that are actually paying taxes, which is part of the problem.
What do you base that on, Mike? What do you base that on? How are you saying they're not paying taxes?
Tony, and then I would also say the problem
now, is... Now, Mike, you got to answer my question. Mike, you got to answer.
Tony.
Mike,
Tony,
you have to answer my question.
Tony.
I don't know it as well as you. All right, Mike, thanks for your call. No, you're not. I mean, you can't make a comment like that and say that most of these people aren't paying their taxes. They're paying their taxes.
Well, yeah, I don't know what Mike, formerly from Westland, now from Plymouth, is talking about. I mean, I pay my taxes. My neighbors pay their taxes. To make a mischaracterization that people in Detroit, and there's not enough people in Detroit paying taxes, I just think is blatantly wrong, and it's an irresponsible comment. I mean, look, the fact of the matter is we have lost so much of our manufacturing base, our industrial base. People have moved out, and the economic hit has hit Detroit so bad that people are just financially strapped in many different ways. Are there people that, you know, let's be honest, they just don't pay their taxes? There are some. There are some in Plymouth. There are some in Westland. There are some everywhere. And so, you know, I don't know if the percentage is any larger or smaller in Detroit. I mean, I would argue it is what it is.
Well, and as much as I appreciate Mike's call, Mike, when you call, you got to answer the question when asked. You can't, you know, you don't have time to give me your philosophy. We have to take a quick break here. We'll do it for the bottom of the hour, and we got a lot to talk about when we come back, so you'll want to stay with us. 888-552-3595 if you care to join us. Tony at thetonyshow.org is the email address. We'll be back on 1310 WDTW right after this.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your ride, the volumes have picked up, and that's causing slow traffic over on 275 northbound between Ford Road and Ann Arbor Road. 696 westbound between Ryan Road and 75 is a slow go, and it's busy over on 75 southbound between 12 Mile Road and 696. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
If you missed today's first shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to a segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
You're listening to WIN, the Workers' Independent News Service. I'm Jesse Russell.
As goes Wisconsin, so goes the nation. That was the message from former President Bill Clinton when he stopped in Milwaukee on Friday to get out the vote for Governor Scott Walker's Democratic challenger, Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett. Clinton spoke of how the Tea Party has infiltrated the GOP and introduced a dangerous zero-compromise mentality. He said if Tea Party Republicans had been our forefathers, we never would have had a constitution.
If they'd been in control, there never would have been a United States Constitution. You ought to read the debates that happened among our founding fathers before the Constitution. They were vigorous, they were vital, and they were tough, and they dealt with really hard issues. But the goal was to get to an agreement. The goal was to allow us to come together. If they'd been in control, there never would have been a nation's capital at Washington, D.C., because they gave that to Virginia because Virginia said, we're rich, we don't owe any money, but we're going to absorb the debts of all these other poorer states so we can start off as one country with one economy. We would not even be here today if they had had their way.
Clinton went on to say Wisconsin has a chance to draw a line in the sand against divisive politics.
Ordinarily, I'm against recall elections. I went to try to fight one in California. But sometimes it is the only way to avoid a disastrous course. Sometimes it is the only way to avoid being misunderstood. I can just hear it now, Wednesday. All those people had poured all this money into Wisconsin. If you don't show up and vote, we'll say, see, we got them now. We're finally going to break every union in America. We're going to break every government in America. We're going to stop worrying about the middle class. We don't give a rip whether poor people get to work their way into it. We got our way now. We got it all. Divide and conquer works. You tell them no. You tell them Wisconsin has never been about that. Never will be about that by electing Tom Barrett.
Also speaking at the Friday event was Shaquita McElroy, a member of SEIU Healthcare Wisconsin. McElroy said Walker made it personal when he started attacking the rights of women in the states.
That's why I have two words in regards to Scott Walker, and then I'll shut up. You're fired!
Workers Independent News puts workers and their unions on the national radio news airwaves every day.
You've been listening to WIN, the Workers Independent News. For more information, visit laborradio.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter.
Follow us, like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet. We want to hear from you.
Interact with First Shift.
Find our First Shift with Tony Trupiano Facebook page.
Tweet us at Tony, T-R-U-P-I-A-N-O.
Or call us now,
1-888-552-3595.
Now, back to the show and Tony.
35 minutes after the hour, State Representative Harvey Santana is my guest. Again, feel free to join us at 888-552-3595. Let's, if we can, Representative Santana, go back to, I said earlier, in the middle of a campaign, and at some point, we were talking during the break, you know, you have to take on a lot of issues that aren't necessarily, quote unquote, your issues, but they really are your issues, because you do live in these communities. I mean, it's not like you don't understand what these people are going through. You understand their frustration. You share some of that frustration. But you also have a responsibility, of course, to try to affect change. I understand where your frustration might come in. You're in the minority in the House. You're not a city council person, so you don't really have a voice at City Hall. I mean, officially have a voice at City Hall, but that doesn't mean that you're not listened to. People do listen to you. You quote in the paper. People seek you out. But that's the point. People are seeking you out, and they're seeking you out because I think, you know, extraordinarily a good listener. I think that you're a leader with vision. I think you do have a plan if people would just listen to you and put that plan into action. So I ask, this may seem like a lame question, but I'm going to ask it anyway. Why are you running for reelection? I mean, it's not just because you think you may end up in the majority, is it? I mean, I think that you have a vision. You've got a plan here.
Well, Tony, thanks for asking the question. I mean, here's the thing, because at the end of the day, the thing that you always come home left to is that you really just care about people. You want to see people have a better way of life. My philosophy has always been, ever since I walked into the Navy and walked out of the Navy and here I am today, my job is to fight for people who can't fight for themselves. My job is to protect people who can't protect themselves. And
yeah, but you see this job a lot differently than a lot of your colleagues do. Just by making that statement, you see this job. And let's just, you don't have to say it, but you know I'm right.
Well, I mean, that's the way I feel, Tony. That's the way I feel. And, you know, like the ancient samurai of old Japan, I fight with the determination to die. I'm going to say what needs to be said. I'm going to do what needs to be done. I'm going to go harder, faster, and longer than anyone else around me. Why? Because that's what the people want. You know, people are just very frustrated overall. And my job is to be innovative, creative, come up with an out-of-the-box solution to try to fix a problem. Now, and I tell this to people, look, as an elected official, I may disappoint you one day. I may disappoint you because I may make a decision that you don't necessarily agree with. But at least give me the benefit of the doubt of sitting down and talking with me about all the issues and putting all the facts on the table. And then I ask you the question, what would you have done differently?
Fair.
And if
that's
And if I'm wrong, then I'll take my lumps. And if I'm right, then give me the credit. And so, you know, my job, look, and I'll share this quick story with you. I meet a lot of different people. Where I get my gas every day, before I head off to Lansing, there's a guy at this gas station named Johnny who cleans up, you know, the gas station area, empties the trash and all that. And Johnny knew exactly who I was. And I asked Johnny, Johnny, why are you out here, man? You're an older guy. It looks like you've got a lot of experience in life. What happened? And he says, Santana, let me tell you something. And he didn't know who I'd never introduced myself to him, but he knew exactly who I was. He says, Santana, let me tell you something. I've made every mistake that a grown man can make. I've done everything wrong. I've done bad things to people. I've done things I shouldn't have done. I've been in prison. I've been in homeless. I've done it all. I've got a daughter that I am now responsible for. And the little change that I make here and there, I got to make sure that she has the books, the pencils, the paper to do her study, her homework, so that one day she gets out there. You ask me why I'm running, I'm going to tell you why. Because when I'm 80-something years old, and I'm laid up in a hospital somewhere, and everything's broke, and I put way too many miles on my body, in will walk a doctor and will say, Santana, I'm here to deal with you. I'm here to take care of you. I went to school, and I've learned what to do to help you out. And she says, by the way, I just want to thank you for giving me your all, because my father named Johnny told me about you and told me how hard you fought so that I could have the opportunities that I have now. This is not about Harvey Santana. This is about that young girl, Johnny's daughter. This is about that future that's coming behind us. And I don't see where we should make this conversation so difficult, so public policy oriented. If we just keep the main thing, why are you in this for? It's not for you. It's not for the next office. It's not about the title. It's about what you're leaving behind in terms of your legacy for the people that you serve.
You know, I believe that. I've seen you with constituents. I've seen you with business people. I've seen you work a room. I have. And of course I sit with you once a month. There's a sincerity to you that's really quite refreshing. And I don't even really know if I can articulate it perfectly, but I don't need to, because I think people listen to this show hear what I'm saying. The last time we had you on, we had quite a few calls. It was just after your fundraiser. We had quite a few phone calls that day from people just reaching out that wanted to say nice things about you, which is a very nice thing to have happen. We know that they're there this morning as well listening to the show. What I find fascinating about this, and I actually do think about this, in fact, on Friday afternoon, I got a press release from the House Democrats about the university budget, how disappointed the House Democrats were in the university budget. The first person I thought of was you. And the reason, Representative Santana, I thought of you is because you really want to be able to say to somebody one day, I voted for legislation that gave you a college education. You really want to be able to say that. Not everybody cares that much about that vote. They might be disappointed because they didn't get their way, but for you, it's not personal. That's the crazy thing. And again, I've spent enough time with you to know that's true.
I tell you, Tony, if it wasn't for an education, I don't know where I'd be right now. And being a rep in Detroit is a very difficult thing, because you give so much of yourself to the point where my wife and my daughter really don't get to spend the time with me that they're old. And it's a difficult thing, because, you know, not too long ago, I had to hold a woman in my arms who just lost her 9-month-old child to an AK-47 at 4:00 in the morning. And I had to console that woman the best way that I knew how. I mean, what do you tell a person like that? How do you tell a person things are going to get better? You don't. I mean, when I marched with Detroit 300 at 3:00 in the morning to look for rapists and robbers and killers and abusers of our community, I mean, that's what being a rep in Detroit is all about. I'm not a political activist. I'm an active politician. You know, you got to be out there. You got to be amongst the people. And look, the more that I'm in the community, the more doors that I knock on, the more people that I talk to, the easier it becomes to make a decision.
Yeah, but again, this is just, again, my observation. So I'm just going to say it. We'll go back to the fundraiser that you invited me to. You were sitting with people from the Arab American community. In fact, the head of the Arab American Chamber of Commerce, Faye, was with us. Faye Baydoun, wonderful woman, absolutely amazing lady. You were sitting with Congressman John Dingell, one of the most important political voices ever in this country. You were sitting with people from DTE talking policy. You were also talking to people like Bomani, who calls the show from time to time, who's one of your constituents. You were as comfortable with any one of those people as you were with any other of them.
We have Melissa Baz in there.
Thank you very much. Yeah. And so as I'm sitting there observing this, what I'm seeing is not a politician, but an activist. I see somebody that, you know, I always often say I'm an activist with a microphone. I think that you're an activist that happens to be a politician.
Well, you know, again, Tony, if you cannot be a person who can walk into a corporate boardroom and talk about their issues and then hang out on the block and talk to the young guys out there who may not have the best intentions in the world and try to convert them to a different way of thinking, as a Detroit rep, I don't know what you're doing. You know, you have to have that quality within you in order to do this job. You cannot represent this city from outside of this city. That's why these authorities scare me. That's why the conversations that are being had with the big P politics, as I call it, scare me. Because you don't see people from within the community who were elected from within the community having these conversations. And that's why I say the more I spend inside the community, the easier it becomes for me to make a decision because I know what the people want.
Well, and that is really the point. I do want to, you know, and I'm going to just ask everybody. I don't care where you live right now. I really don't care where you live, whether you live in Detroit or you live in Plymouth or you live up north in Traverse City. I don't care where you live. One of the questions you have to ask yourself, and I've said this repeatedly, when it comes time to vote, whether you're voting in a primary or voting in a general election, the one question you have to ask yourself is the person I'm voting for, do they represent my point of view? And if you can't answer yes to that question, you just can't vote for that person.
I always ask people, who do you want making decisions on your behalf? Here's your list. Here's the choice you got. Here's my background. This is what I've been able to produce. This is what I stand for. This is who I am. This is everything that I've done in 40 years of walking on this earth. If you think I'm the right guy for the job, then circle in that little oval next to my name. And if you don't, then, hey, that's a choice, and maybe I didn't make the sell the way I'm supposed to.
I'm going to circle you in for July. How's that?
All right.
All right. Thank you. It's been a good year. I'm glad that we've done this. All right. State Representative Harvey Santana, we need to take a quick break, folks. When we come back, Occupy Detroit, Occupy's First Shift. Stay with us.
With Tony. Well, I think you hit a reset button for the fall campaign. Everything changes. It's almost like an Etch-A-Sketch. You can kind of shake it up and we start all over again.
On 1310 WDTW.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills?
The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending.
You'll learn the order of service every server should know,
speed pouring, drink recipes,
customer service skills the industry is looking for,
and much more.
All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020 Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585 9671.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Elizabeth Weidner joins us now.
The founders of our nation who wrote the Constitution specifically gave the federal government the power to speak with one voice for our nation with respect to immigration and foreign affairs. And so the Solicitor General, Don Verrilli, made this argument to the court yesterday saying, look, you know, the way that we treat non-citizens and nationals of other countries within our borders is a serious matter that has foreign affairs implications that affects everyone in the United States. So what Arizona or Alabama or Utah chooses to do in harassing people in its state, so much so that they, as Arizona puts it, self-deport, that has implications for the country as a whole. And that's why individual states should not be setting immigration policy like Arizona.
On 1310 WDTW.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
They're chanting, we're standing right in the middle of this rally, and they're saying that they're tired of corporate greed. They've had it.
Absolutely. I'm part of the 99% that have fed up with the egregious behavior of the 1%. From now on, we occupy all streets.
The movement is resonating with cities across the country. It began as that Occupy Wall Street effort.
The movement to occupy Wall Street coming to Detroit.
The world will not change unless the way we talk about it changes.
We can just get that message across. It'll hopefully start some change.
Dozens of UAW members showed up to support the protesters.
We're losing our homes. We're losing our jobs. Union workers are facing a terrible time at the bargaining table, and workers who don't have unions are even worse off.
Time for Occupy Detroit to Occupy First Shift. And welcome, everybody. It's a pleasure to be back with you. Of course, we all know what that means. It's 7:50, and we all know what that means. It's time to talk about activism in a most extraordinary way. No stranger to this audience, Hans Barbe joins us now. And Hans, as always, a pleasure to chat with you, brother. Hope you're well.
I'm doing well. Thanks for having me, Tony.
No problem. You know, listen, before we get onto the serious stuff, not that this isn't serious stuff, but I read something fascinating, so I want you to share with me that there's going to be an Occupy activist choir. Do tell, my friend.
Oh, yes. I myself am a musician. I've got a music degree. I teach piano and voice as well, vocal training, and decided it would be, and a lot of people were with me, that it would be fun to create an activist choir that could not only participate in rallies and marches and sing a lot of movement and protest songs, but also even participate in direct actions like interrupting public meetings or sheriff sales and things like that of homes with singing. And it's actually quite an effective tactic. It's been used a couple times around the country to, in some cases, stop the foreclosure, the sheriff sale of homes. There'll be regular rehearsals every Sunday at 3:00 at 5900 Michigan Avenue, an activist center that Occupy has been using.
Well, what I find extraordinary about this is just another, I think, wonderful layer to get people involved. Because, Hans, as you and I both know, I was in choir for many, many years. You and I both know there are a lot of people that all you have to do is say you can sing and they'll show up.
Oh, absolutely. Absolutely. We had a great rehearsal yesterday. It was our first rehearsal. It was about 15 people, and I know of a good five or seven or so more that were wanting to come, couldn't make it this past Sunday. But we even had a large group of children that were some of the loudest singers in the bunch, and sounded fantastic. It's designed for all levels of experience, whether you're an experienced chorus member or not. There will be room for you. You know, if you're good at, if you got some pitch, you can sing some harmony. If not, you can just sing the melodies, and that works too. And there's even tactics that are, just droning is a tactic. Can be a tactic of unifying a group of people into a sort of ohm is a very effective tactic for doing that, and also, you know, just making some noise and interrupting things if necessary.
No, I think it's a really, really cool idea. I do. I just think it's a really wonderful idea, and And so you said every Sunday at 3 at 5900 Michigan Avenue, right?
That's right.
All right. Let's quickly talk about an upcoming eviction that you wanted to make us aware of, and let us know how we can help, Hans.
Right. So there's two events coming up for two separate foreclosure situations. The first is this Thursday, June 7th at 2 p.m. We're going to be at the 22nd District Court in Inkster to protest the foreclosure proceedings of Jerome Jackson, who has been in his home for, something like 8 years now. He had the rug pulled out from under him. He's paraplegic. He's in a wheelchair. He's got a fixed income of $600. His mortgage was $900 a month, which is more than, obviously, than he's able to pay. And an agency called Community Living Services had been providing him assistance, and actually were the original agency to convince him to buy the home in the first place and agreed to help pay the mortgages instead of renting an apartment. And they pulled out the rug from under him, and so Fannie Mae is trying to evict him. So we'll be at this 22nd District Court. The address is 27331 South River Park Drive in Inkster, 27331 South River Park Drive, 2 p.m. on Thursday. And then Saturday, June 9th, we will be rallying at Jennifer Britt's house in Detroit at 4 p.m. She is facing a foreclosure from Flagstar Bank after, frankly, having bleeding her family dry of money over the years. Her husband died a few years ago. She used the life insurance money to pay back what was owed on the mortgage and late payment fees, and they still demanded obscene monthly payments, I believe in excess of $1,500 a month, which jumped up to almost $2,000 a month. And now, after bleeding her dry, they're trying to evict her. So that's at 15701 Warwick, and that will be Saturday at 4 p.m.
Okay. I want to take a quick call here, Hans, so stay right where you're at. Let's welcome Stephen Monroe. Steve, go ahead. You're on the air with Hans.
Good morning, Hans. Good morning, Tony. Hans, you had mentioned something that kind of bothered me, and it was interrupting public meetings. Why don't you do like most people and just wait your turn? Eventually you'll get a chance to speak your mind at a public meeting. Why would you have to interrupt?
Unfortunately, Steve, I'm going to let Hans answer that, but unfortunately, Steve, as we know, you don't always get a chance to speak your mind. Go ahead, Hans. I'll let you address that.
Well, you know, it depends on the situation. Obviously, I mean, like, we've attended public meetings before where we actually, you know, we go through the process, and that's completely legitimate, and we're not there to just, you know, disrupt for the sake of disrupting. I don't want to come off that way. In the case of something like a sheriff's sale, you know, the meeting is very, it's not exactly there to, take in anyone's opinion or be listening to anyone. It's you know, the direct sale of a home. So that's something we're trying to interrupt. And, you know, that's a gear of machinery, of a system that we're trying to throw a wrench in. It's not meant to, you know, disrupt a democratic process. It's meant to disrupt a very undemocratic process. I don't want to be misinterpreted about interrupting public meetings, you know, for the sake of just interrupting them.
And you were, I think that you did a nice job of clarifying your comments, Hans. Very, very quickly, as we're just about out of time here, give us the addresses for both of these actions again, and then we're going to have to let you go for today.
Very good. So this Thursday for Jerome Jackson will be at 22nd District Court in Inkster, which is 27331 South River Park Drive. Thursday, 2 p.m., and then this Saturday at Jennifer Britt's home in Detroit, and that's going to be 4 p.m. this Saturday, June 9th, at 15701 Warwick.
All right, and Hans, that's going to just have to do it. We are out of time, but we will look forward to talking to you and maybe singing with you in the very near future. We'll take the break and be back.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch. Just watching slow traffic on 94 eastbound between Livernois and 14th Street. Same thing on 96 eastbound between Wixom Road and Beck Road. And a slow go on M14 eastbound between US 23 and Ford Road. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Next time you need to stop for groceries, the 42,000 members of the United Food and Commercial Workers in Michigan ask you to shop at one of the stores where they work, including Kroger, Meijer, Hiller's, and Hollywood Markets. Shopping at these union stores helps support good union jobs, which build healthy communities. If you already shop at these stores, our members want to thank you for your support.
Hey, it's Jeff from First Shift. You're listening to 1310 WDTW, Dearborn, Detroit, home of First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Now, NBC News with the latest.
NBC News Radio, I'm Jim Mikluszewski. The political battle is on Wisconsin. Voters decide tomorrow whether to recall Republican Governor Scott Walker and install Milwaukee Mayor Tom Barrett, a Democrat, in his place. Wisconsin Congressman Paul Ryan.
The whole country is watching us. This is an election that will send shockwaves throughout America.
The death toll is rising in Nigeria, where a commercial airliner crashed in a heavily populated area of Lagos, killing all 153 aboard and at least 10 on the ground. World markets taking a beating this morning with new questions about the U.S. economic recovery. That weak U.S. jobs report sent U.S. stocks plunging Friday. Stock futures point to a flat open. And it's the graying of the workforce as older Americans snag a big share of job gains in the economic recovery. 227,000 jobs in February alone as they put off retirement amid shrinking nest eggs and changes in Social Security. This is NBC News Radio. It's the biggest blaze in New Mexico history, the Whitewater Baldy Wildfire, scorching more than 240,000 acres. NBC's Miguel Almaguer says nearly 1,300 firefighters are on the fire lines.
Firefighters here in New Mexico say they are doing all they can to keep flames back. They paused yesterday after learning two pilots died in the line of duty, a dangerous and deadly day all across the West.
A new twist in the Trayvon Martin case, George Zimmerman, the neighborhood watch volunteer charged with murder and the killing of the unarmed teen, has had his bond revoked. He's back in jail in Seminole County, Florida. The judge says Zimmerman and his wife lied to the court about their finances so he could get a lower bond. And sweet news from Australia, where scientists say people at high risk for heart disease could benefit from eating up to 2 bars of dark chocolate per day. But it's controversial. Other experts say the calories, fat, and sugar in all those chocolate bars would probably do more harm than good. More news at MSNBC.com. I'm Jim Mikluszewski, NBC News Radio.
500 new business cards. That's 500 first impressions.
At Staples, we know your business printing is important.
30 copies of a killer proposal. 30 yeses to a career-changing deal.
So Staples certified print pros make sure it's perfect.
One new store sign, thousands of new shoppers.
Great business printing can be the difference between making a sale and missing one. For a limited time, buy 200 instant business cards and get 200 free. Order in-store or at staples.com/instant. Staples Instant Printing. Get it made today. Staples. That was easy.
Now at the Home Depot, Behr Premium Plus Ultra with advanced stain blocking starts at just $31.98 a gallon. The number one paint and primer in one just got better. Each coat works 3 times harder, priming, covering, and blocking stains on even tough surfaces. Roll on rich color in less time with Behr Ultra now with stain blocking starting at just $31.98. More saving, more doing. That's the power of the Home Depot. U.S. only. See store for details.
Lawyers who assist public companies through bankruptcies find themselves defendants of sorts today. A group of bankruptcy attorneys will meet today with the U.S. Trustee Program in Washington. The Trustee Program monitors bankruptcy proceedings and has been pushing for changes in how the lawyers are compensated. Many have charged more than $1,000 an hour for their services. There will be plenty of incentive for Wall Street to watch Bank of America today. A new lawsuit filed against the company accuses B of A of withholding critical information from shareholders. In 2008, days before shareholders approved Bank of America's takeover of Merrill Lynch, executives were warned earnings of a combined company would be hammered for years to come. That warning never made it to the shareholders, and the resulting losses prompted a second taxpayer bailout of $20 billion.
China's main stock index tumbled 3% today. Japan's main index down 2%. Europe and the States mixing it up. S&P futures up 4, Dow futures about flat. I'm Andrew O'Day at MarketWatch.com.
Futures trading involves substantial risk.
Hi, everyone. I'm Larry Levin, president of TradingAdvantage.com. You've probably seen me being interviewed on CNBC, Bloomberg, or Fox TV. I'm on there a lot talking about the markets. My company is the leading educational firm teaching people how to become professional traders. My office is right here in the Chicago Board of Trade, and I've been on the floor for 22 years and ended up being one of the biggest traders in the S&P pit. Now I spend most of my time teaching people like you how to professionally day trade mini S&P futures. I actually wrote a book, How I Made $1.9 Million Trading in Only a Few Short Years. Now I'm giving you one of my most successful trading techniques and my daily market report for free. Just leave me your email address on my voicemail. Call 800-827-0407, and I'll email you my free trading technique and daily market report at no cost to you. Again, just leave me your email address on my voicemail at 800-827-0407. That's 800-827-0407.
Futures and options trading involves substantial risk and is not suitable for all investors.
Last season was the Gulf's best tourism season in years.
All because so many people came to Louisiana.
They came to see us in Florida.
Make that Alabama.
Make that Mississippi.
Hi, this is Karen Sock from Biloxi, Mississippi.
This is Ron Hardy from Panama City, Florida.
Hey, this is Cheryl Ziston in Gulf Shores, Alabama.
This is Bill Kearney from New Orleans, Louisiana.
The best part of the Gulf is wherever you choose. And now's a great time to discover it.
This is a cordial invitation to visit the Gulf Coast.
Brought to you by BP and all of us. Call the Gulf home.
My daughter swims like she's part fish. But when she developed asthma, I worried she wouldn't be able to do the things she loves. There are lots of specialists, lots of advice. Without United Healthcare, I couldn't keep track of it all. United Healthcare has tools to help her pediatrician coordinate her care, so everyone works as a team.
We're more than 78,000 people looking out for 70 million Americans. That's health in numbers. United Healthcare.
Now we... The comments, ideas, and opinions expressed in the following program are those of the show participants only. Nothing stated in this program reflects the ideas, opinions, or beliefs of this radio station and or Clear Channel Radio.
2012 creates the promise of change.
But what kind of change? And what say do you have of that change?
2012 carries the promise of hope.
But is hope enough to usher change?
2012 can deliver us from the horror of the past.
But can you and will you commit to making the effort to move beyond words to action?
First Shift is ready to lead if you are ready to join us.
And if you are ready, then strap in.
Because from this point forward,
we will accept nothing but the path to victory.
And that path starts here.
And now,
First Shift
with Tony Trupiano.
Welcome, everybody. I am Tony Trupiano, just 6 minutes after 8 o'clock on this Monday, the fourth day of June 2012. A pleasure to be with you. We have a very full hour. Mark Brewer in just a second, and Chris Savage at the bottom of the hour. Of course, your calls are always welcome at 888-552-3595. The email address, tony@thetonyshow.org. Let's get to our intros and let's get this thing going.
The leading voice for the Democratic Party in Michigan, an architect of progressive victory.
That money could have been much better spent keeping teachers employed, keeping police and firefighters employed in this difficult economic time. What did the Republicans do? Now let's take $10 million and pay for our own private election. We decided a year ago not to do that to the taxpayers of Michigan. If the parties want to do this kind of process, they should pay for it themselves, and that's exactly what we're doing.
It's time for Monday Mornings with Chairman Mark Brewer.
And joining us now is the chairman himself. Mark Brewer joins us. And although we missed you last Monday because of the holiday, Mark, it's good to have you back. And, you know, I was kind of doing that spin the wheel thing, not sure exactly where to begin. But I don't know how we don't begin this conversation without talking about my old opponent, Thaddeus McCotter, Mark Brewer.
Yeah, just the most extraordinary development, Tony, in the last week, literally. So much has happened in the last week. Unprecedented, not just in Michigan, but based on what I can tell, this has never happened before in the entire country. Just amazing.
Well, you know, interestingly, my producer, Jeff, just came from St. Louis, and he said the number one story driving back yesterday morning nationally was Thad McCotter withdrawing from the race.
Oh, yeah. And, you know, and frankly, that just makes sense given all that has happened in the last week. You know, the Friday before Memorial Day, We get this report from the Secretary of State that out of nearly 1,800 signatures filed, barely a couple hundred were valid. And as the story came out, it's clear there's fraud. It looks like signatures were duplicated and xeroxed and pasted and something. We may have even had signatures taken from 2010 nominating petitions. Just fraud on a staggering scale, Tony, by McConnell's people. And I think McConnell's going to take responsibility for it himself. These people work for him. He signed an affidavit when he filed his candidate papers that he was submitting these signatures. So for him to attempt to distance himself or throw his staff under the bus and scapegoat them is just completely unacceptable here.
But, you know, and Mark, as we take a look at the significance of this, there's a lot more to this than this just meets the eye. This isn't just simply, hey, you know, was there fraud that took place? The Thaddeus McCotter himself said at the very beginning of this nightmare for him anyway that the same staff that he's always used, the same volunteers that he's always used, are the same people that went out and gathered signatures. Well, if he's using these same people, these are the people that he's always used, I mean, this raises more than just questions about this campaign, doesn't it?
Oh, yes, Tony. I mean, you know, does this mean there was fraud in the petitions all along, even when he ran against you, my friend? Was he on the ballot fraudulently? And we've taken a look at, and I hope the mainstream media will take a hard look at, as well as others, who these circulators were. Five of them were McConnell staffers, congressional staffers. There's a candidate for Livonia School Board. There's a number of Tea Party activists from all over the district. You know, just how deep and extensively does this fraud go? And were these people and are these people doing the same kind of thing in other election activities? You're right, Tony. There's a lot of layers to this onion.
Okay, now I guess I have to ask the obvious question. We should probably mention Roy Schmidt again in this conversation, Mark. We should probably mention him because we are now seeing perhaps a pattern of, I don't know if it's Republican arrogance, if it's a power grab, if it's greed. I really, Mark, don't know how to characterize this.
Well, I think it's a combination of all of the above, Tony. Just to remind your callers, I mean, this scandal's been going on now, gosh, we're in the third week with Roy Schmidt, who at the very last minute on filing deadline decided to switch parties, you know, misled donors, misled Democrats in the district, and the same person who filed Roy Schmidt's Republican papers also filed a fake Democrat. Turned out he was a family friend of the Schmidts, had never run for office before, but who lied on his candidate affidavit about where he lived, where he'd been registered to vote, and so forth. That provoked a state police investigation, which is ongoing and may involve not only Roy Schmidt, but the Speaker of the House, the Speaker's chief of staff, a woman named Suzanne Miller Allen, was involved in a similar scam 10 years ago when she worked for then Senate Republican leader Ken Sycamore, where they put fake Democrats into a number of Senate primaries. They got caught, and all those candidates ended up getting pulled off the ballot. But here we have Suzanne Miller Allen, 10 years later, same scheme. We know the Speaker spoke to Roy Schmidt extensively about switching parties, helped him with his candidate papers. So we hope and expect that this investigation by the state police will go wherever the facts lead, up to and including the Speaker of the House.
Well, there's no question this is critical. Are we led to believe that the Attorney General, Bill Schuette, is going to do the right thing? Is he going to put people before politics, Mark? Or do we have to kind of cross our fingers and hope that the right thing happens?
Well, he announced last week that he was going to investigate. I actually saw him on the island, on Mackinac Island. I told him, I said, look, this is some fraud that even you can't ignore. Because, frankly, he's been very partisan in how he administers that office and how the campaign finance laws are enforced. He did announce late last week that there was going to be an investigation by his criminal division. We expect and hope that that will be a bipartisan investigation that will lead, you know, wherever the facts take it. We'll just have to see, Tony. We'll just have to see.
Well, this is again very troubling. There was a Republican that announced that he was going to run as a write-in candidate on the Republican side, and I don't really care about that at this point. But I do, Mark, want to mention Dr. Syed Taj, who happens to be a personal friend who was very helpful to me when when I ran for Congress. He happens to be an amazing guy, a trustee in Canton, running for Congress in the 11th Congressional District as a Democrat. Somebody we really do need to spend a little time with, get to know a little better.
That's right. He's a great candidate. The party and I have been working very closely with Dr. Todd. We had another good meeting on Saturday, talking about not only the situation we find ourselves in, obviously, but focusing on his campaign and getting him ready to be the best Democratic candidate that he can be. And he is terrific. So you're absolutely right. Great professional background, service on the Canton Township Board of Trustees, a great Democrat. We're really proud to have him as our candidate thrust into these extraordinary circumstances.
Well, he sent me a personal message yesterday. He and I are scheduled to talk a little bit later on today. Certainly, we'll have him on the show here very soon. Although I don't have a lot of time to volunteer, I certainly would be happy to give him some of my time. Only because I've known him now 6-7 years. This is a man that's not a stranger to me, and this is an extraordinary opportunity for Democrats to take a seat. Let's be honest about it, Mark. Before this happened with Thaddeus McCotter, a little bit tougher to take this seat back than it is now.
Yeah, we'll have to see how it all plays out, Tony. I mean, we don't know what's going to happen on the other side. There's been at least one candidate announced to write in. There is a Tea Party candidate already on the ballot. We'll have to see. Right now, we're focused on getting Dr. Tosh through his primary, frankly. And we probably should let your listeners know, Tony, that there is another Democrat there. But he is a LaRouche supporter. We don't consider him a Democrat. People can file and claim to be whatever party they want in this state. He's a LaRouche supporter. And among other things, Lyndon LaRouche and his supporters have called for the impeachment of Barack Obama. So we want to make sure that all Democrats know who the only real Democrat in that primary is. And it's Dr. Tosh, and we urge them to get out and support Dr. Tosh.
And of course, we will be making sure that we provide that service through this program as well. No question, that is true. Again, an extraordinary time. I got to tell you, Mark, I was a little stunned this weekend when I got my little bulletin from Gongwer News Service on Saturday that said that Thaddeus McCotter was dropping out. This political career is done, dead, over.
Yeah, I would think so, Tony. And you know, back to your question a moment ago, your statement about, you know, is this power, is this arrogance? I think it's a combination of both, particularly with the speaker and what's going on in West Michigan. I think they thought they could get away with that last-minute switch and try to deprive Democrats of a legitimate candidate in that district. Actually, Roy Schmidt, I think, is now going to have a much tougher election because of this sneaky, duplicitous last-minute party switch. And then that, again, is just compounded by the arrogance of McCotter. I mean, this is a guy who had this fantasy ego trip of a presidential campaign, which went nowhere. And obviously, he was either not paying attention at home or was part of his bigger plot to get on the ballot by fraud. And now that has blown up in his face. And again, we got to see where that goes. There may be, and it looks like there are a lot of other people involved in this fraud, and they need to be held accountable as well.
Absolutely, they do. Mark, we need to take a very quick break here. When we come back, we'll talk a little bit about Mackinac Island. Yes, the annual conference, as everybody knows, was last week. Okay, so I didn't speak kindly of it, but I did speak of it. Mark Brewer was there. We'll get his firsthand account. It had to have felt a little different, but we'll get that from Mark when we continue. Feel free to join us if you'd like, 888-552-3595. Quick break here on 1310 WDTW, then we'll continue with First Shift right after this.
Barack Obama is a moderate progressive with the emphasis on moderate. Most socialists are insulted when Barack Obama is called a socialist. It's absurd that this man is a socialist.
On 1310 WDTW.
1310 WDTW. Continuous traffic watch.
Checking your commute, we got an accident over on 14 Mile Road eastbound at 75. That's blocking your right lane. Also on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 exit, that's blocking your left shoulder. Also, we got another one blocking your left shoulder on M14 westbound at the Ford Road exit. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Do you have some previous experience in the restaurant industry but want additional opportunities to enhance your skills? The Restaurant Opportunity Center of Michigan, Rock, Michigan, is offering free classes in fine dining, serving, and bartending. You'll learn the order of service every server should know, speed pouring, drink recipes, customer service skills the industry is looking for, and much more. All classes will take place at our restaurant and training center, Colors Detroit, at 311 East Grand River in Detroit, Michigan. Please call 313-962-5020. Monday through Friday from 9:30 a.m. until 6 p.m. to set up your orientation date and learn more about the nation's largest nonprofit restaurant worker organization. We want to help you elevate your skill set and passion for the food service industry and give you every opportunity to achieve everything this industry has for you. Again, call 313-962-5020 and set up your appointment for your orientation date. Rock, Michigan. Your future is waiting for you now.
Stay tuned for more of First Shift after this on Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW.
If you missed today's First Shift with Tony Trupiano, or you want to listen to his segment again, visit our podcast page on 1310WDTW.com today.
First Shift with Tony Trupiano. Joining us now is Susan Demish.
I don't have an issue with people switching parties. You know, is this a decision of conscience? People thinking of all? I get that, but it's really hard to argue that this is a deep-seated, philosophical, wrenching decision that the representative made when he switched parties 10 minutes before the filing deadline on Tuesday, and he never said boo about his unhappiness to any of his Democratic colleagues, to his staff who are now out of the job, or to the leadership. I mean, this was a very even political move.
On 1310 WDTW.
Over 140 Rite Aid stores are unionized, with over 1,500 United Food and Commercial Workers members working with a union contract in stores all across Michigan. Because they are union members, they have access to higher wages, a company pension, a health care plan for themselves and their family, and UFCW Rite Aid workers proudly serve their communities and at the same time enjoy a living wage and benefit package. Please support our union Rite Aid workers and make sure they know how much we appreciate the work they are doing. To join the UFCW family of drugstores, visit UFCW.org or call 248-585-9671. First Shift is more than a radio show.
It's a movement.
And it's Facebook fun as well.
Very impressive.
Add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today and tell a friend.
I'm friends with Marilyn Olson, too. He comes over.
Interact with other listeners.
Oh, what's up, diggity doll?
Listen to the song of the day.
Great googly moogly.
Vote in the daily poll.
That's how I roll.
And even win prizes by participating in the contests.
You ever have that feeling you were just born for greatness?
First Shift with Tony Trupiano on Facebook. And also follow us at Tony Trupiano on Twitter.
Tony and the crew are punching back in and looking to hear from you.
1-888-552-3595.
Tell us what's on your mind.
Now,
here's First Shift and Tony Trupiano.
Welcome back. 22 minutes after 8 o'clock. Mark Brewer, my guest, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Before we venture over to or up to Mackinac Island, if only verbally, I've got to ask Mark about Pete Hoekstra's birther czar comments last week. I got to tell you, in all the years that I've been doing radio, I've never had audio that no matter what side of an issue I wanted to be on, all I had to do was play the same piece of audio because the former congressman was all over the place on that issue. He was for it and against it. It wasn't about the president. It wasn't about the president. I can't figure out what he was trying to do, but he was successful at whatever it was because, well, at least he's famous for something for last week.
Yeah, Tony, what Hoekstra is doing as a candidate is just extraordinary. He had the racist ad, for which he's now fired, the person who put that together, you know, saying things like the Lilly Ledbetter law and discrimination laws that protect women are a nuisance. And now to this latest episode where he actually attacked John McCain for failing to pursue the birther issue in 2008 as he was catering and pandering to this Tea Party crowd that he was in front of. But then he goes on to say, Tony, nobody has proposed this. He goes on to say that there should be a federal government agency staffed by the CIA
and the FBI, to which any candidate for president would have to go with their citizenship papers to get a stamp of approval that you can run for president. I mean, the depths to which Pete Hoekstra will go to pander to the Tea Party wing of the Republican Party is just extraordinary, and this is just the latest example.
Yeah, and let's remember, this isn't about President Obama, and he completely believes the president's a U.S. citizen, but, you know, Mark, just in case, that's all I'm saying. I mean, oh, my yeah. God, what an interesting week.
No, and it's just like, again, he tries to have it both ways. He goes into these Tea Party events, Tony, and again, this is not the first time. There's a real pattern here. And he feels, apparently, that he just got to pander to the worst elements of the Tea Party movement in the Republican Party. He's petrified that he's not going to get their support. And so he does this stuff, and you really got to ask, where's the backbone, where's the character, where's the integrity, if he will say and do anything in front of an audience, any audience, in order to get their support. I mean, it's just extraordinary to the degree to which he's paying. He's had a terrible week.
Absolutely, Mark. I got to tell you, I look at Pete Hoekstra and I say, you see, this is all I need. I look at Pete Hoekstra and I say, I'm so glad I'm not a Republican. I'll leave it there. Very quickly, we don't have a lot of time left. The Mackinac Policy Conference was last week, and it did take on a little different feel, Mark, because, well, there weren't a lot of policymakers up there. In fact, most of the legislators were legislating, or at least gumming up the works, because they do that all too well. Although the governor certainly found his way up there. I know you were there for a little bit of time. Tell us what it was like this year.
Well, it was very different this year because we had very few policymakers there. I tell you, the political talk up there was McConnor and then the Pete Hoekstra birther story. That was the big talk up there in terms of politics. And I tell people, Tony, this is the closest thing to a Republican convention that I can get into. So I do go up there and serve as a Democratic truth squad. Did a lot of press work. Picked up a lot of political intelligence. And another extraordinary development, Tony, they did a straw poll up there after a political forum one night that featured Donna Mazzella. And Donna was great, as always, as she always is. But Barack Obama actually won the straw poll against Romney. I think it was like 70 to 30 people expressed their support for the re-election of Barack Obama. And this is at a business conference, Tony, sponsored by the Detroit Chamber. So that should send some shockwaves throughout the Republican Party in Michigan.
Well, you know, it's interesting. As you know, Mark, I used to bring the show to the Mackinac Policy Conference. For whatever reason, they don't invite me anymore.
Oh, well, that's no surprise, Tony. They can't stand too much truth up there.
Well, anyway, it was, again, as I was just reading from afar, because, you know, I do like to know what's going on up there, I did find it interesting. In fact, even the most conservative of people were saying, gee, it's not nearly as much fun without the lawmakers here, which is another way of saying I think they didn't have as much shrimp as they normally do.
Well, that's right, yeah, because what goes on up there, frankly, is, you know, whining and dining of legislators. The lobbyists go up there, they throw these big parties and lavish dinners and use it as an opportunity to button all the lobbyists. That didn't occur this year because, like you said, the Republicans remained in Lansing where they continue to foul up the state budget. So that put a very different tone and feel to the conference this year.
You know, interestingly, Mark, in that environment, you know, people are a little friendlier to one another. They have a tendency to be a little friendlier to one another. And listen, I've seen you work the room, and you're as good with the Republican as you are with the Democrat. You're very fair to people. You make yourself accessible to all media, not just the media to the left. You don't hide from anybody. In fact, you encourage the other side to be as open as you are. They never seem to take you up on that. And I just have to, you know, I just have to wonder, you know, in those quieter moments when you're up there, do you ever get a Republican that takes you to the side and says, hey, Mark, you know, with watching all that this is going on with my own party right now, I'm kind of scratching my head, can't figure out why we seem to be imploding. Because, Mark, if I were a Republican right now, this should be an extraordinary time for them, and it is not.
Oh, yeah, it should be, Tony, and you're right. People are scratching their head. I mean, I didn't see Saul Anousis there this year because in another, you know, big internal Republican fight, he got tossed out as a national commitment a couple of weeks ago by the Tea Party folks.
Yeah, and let's remind this audience, Mark, that Governor Snyder was campaigning for Saul Anuzis, and he still couldn't get enough votes to win.
I know. It's just a extraordinary development, Tony, when someone like Saul Anuzis is too liberal to be a leader in the Michigan Republican Party. There is a lot of turmoil inside that party. You see it playing out and what's going on with McConner in the national committee race. I saw Bobby Shostak up there. Boy, he ran the other way so fast.
That doesn't surprise me.
It was a very interesting week, and I do have Republicans, not just up there, Tony, but otherwise, who will confide in me. You know, their concerns that are just compounded now by this thing that's going on with McConner. I did a program with John Trescott, who's his Republican, as they come, and he was throwing McConner under the bus and could not defend what he did. So you really do have a lot of turmoil in that party. They try to mask it and cover it over, but there's a lot of turmoil there.
No, but it's important that we, you know, do keep an eye on what's going on. Certainly, you know, we haven't mentioned in the minute that we have left, we should mention the Secretary of State, who has some culpability in this as well.
Oh, yeah, Tony. I mean, she tried to make a point last week, got up and took on Donna Brazile, which was a mistake. She's all over the map on this voter fraud issue. She did an internal study, Tony, which I have a copy of, which shows they have no proof of dead people voting in Michigan. But she gets up last week and tries to make that very claim. So she's an embarrassment, frankly, as a Secretary of State. And again, she's done nothing in these two fraud situations that we're now talking about. It's fallen to the AG and to the state police to do something. So we continue to have lots of problems with Ruth Johnson.
Well, and I would think as we're running out of time here, and that's what the music tells us, you and I are going to have plenty to talk about next Monday. I already know that for sure. Mark, thanks so much. We'll look forward to talking to you then.
Thank you, Tony. See you next week.
As always, Mark Brewer, chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party. Let's take a break. When we come back, Chris Savage from Eclectablog.
Team 10 WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your commute, we got an accident over on 14 Mile Road eastbound at 75. That's blocking your right lane. Also on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 exit, that's blocking your left shoulder. Also, we got another one blocking your left shoulder on M14 westbound at the Ford Road exit. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your first shift weather.
Unions work. Did you know that workers covered by a union contract earn more money each year than non-union workers? And that a contract can put more dollars in your pocket each and every week? A union contract protects your wages, giving your family financial security. Does more money in your pocket sound good? Find out how a union can work for you. Call the United Food and Commercial Workers at 1-888-485-9671. That's 1-888-485-9671.
First shift with Tony Tribbiano.
Joining me now is Madeline Coonan.
You know, I had no clue that we would be talking about contraception in 2012. That takes us back to the 1930s or 40s, you know, when Margaret Sanger, who started the birth control movement, was arrested for opening a clinic. You know, progress is not necessarily a straight line upward.
On 1310 WDTW.
Unless you hang out in posh watering holes with America's far-right billionaires, chances are that you don't know Diane Hendricks. But Scott Walker, Wisconsin's anti-middle-class union-whacking governor, knows her and loves her. A lot. In fact, Scott loves Diane at least $500,000 worth. That's how much the heiress to ABC Supply, the nation's largest roofing and siding wholesaler, has put down so far on Walker's desperate effort to avoid being only the third governor in U.S. history to lose a recall election. His day of reckoning is tomorrow, and his last bastion of support is a phalanx of union-hating out-of-state billionaires like Hendricks and the infamous Koch brothers, who've erected a multimillion-dollar wall of money around him. We've spent a lot of money in Wisconsin, deadpan David Koch of New York City. We've gotten pretty good at this over the years, he boasted of his extremist political attack machine, adding that we're going to spend more. As of last week, Scott had amassed $30 million from friends like David, a sum comparable to what Mitt Romney's campaign raised to win the GOP presidential nomination. Such Koch cronies as the DeVos family, founders of the Amway marketing empire, chipped in $250,000 for the right-wing's nationwide Save Scott campaign. And Foster Freeze, the evangelical billionaire who dumped a ton of cash on Rick Santorum's theocratic run for the presidency this year, is in for $100,000. This is Jim Hightower saying, there's an old rule in business. If you don't have any sense behind you, pour in dollars. From the Edsel to New Coke, and now to Scott Walker, the strategy has been to overcome all product defaults with PR cash. Tomorrow, we'll see what Coke cash can buy, and if it buys the governorship of Wisconsin, look out where you live. Hightower's commentaries are brought to you by the Hightower Lowdown, the monthly newsletter with Hightower's take on what Wall Street and Washington are up to. For information, visit HightowerLowdown.org.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us,
like us,
love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet.
Together we stand, divided we fall. Got something to get off your chest? Give us a call. 1-888-552-3595.
This is First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
And welcome back 35 minutes after the hour. Man, oh man, the day's flying by. It's Monday. That just means one thing. So let's get this intro out of the way and let's talk to the guy we need to talk to.
Leading the charge for online truth and a vision that transcends the minutia and delivers information that impacts us all.
There's plenty of folks out there that feel pretty strongly about this. Even though labor may not be formally involved, you know, I guarantee there's going to be a lot of folks out there that are disgusted with what's been going on with the Snyder administration.
Welcome back to First Shift, this week's blog roll.
The next hard part starts. We have to get people to vote for this repeal, and I guarantee you there'll be money flooding into not a state to fight against it.
From Neglect to Blog, Chris Savage.
Enjoy. Joining us now from Eclectablog in our blog roll segment is Chris Savage. And Chris, my friend, my brother, my compatriot, is always a pleasure to talk to you.
Yeah, good morning, Tony. How are you? I'm getting ready to go to Netroots Nation this week. Very excited about that.
I bet you are excited about that. You know, I last year I threatened to go this year, so I'm going to really threaten to go next year. But I can now I have all my remote equipment, so I can go. I can.
You really should. It's an inspiring week, and I'm personally involved with a group called Netroots for the Troops. We do a service project out there and put together several hundred care packages to send to folks in the military, and just a really fun experience on top of all the really great, you know, inspiring sessions and networking that goes on out there with other progressives. It's really great.
Yeah, and I've got the core member of my audience goes on a yearly basis. And, of course, I was barely on the air last year, which is why I didn't go last year. I don't have a good reason for not going this year. So next year I'll definitely think about that. We have a lot to get to today. And before we get to our main topic, I want to mention last Thursday evening, a little beer and blogger session. How'd that go?
It was a lot of fun. We had about 75 people there throughout the night. It was close to a dozen bloggers at the Corner Brewery in Ypsilanti, and we just got together and drank some beer and talked about a lot of stuff. It wasn't all political bloggers. There were some political bloggers there, but it was just nice to get a chance to meet some of the folks that read my blog and comment on it and stuff. And I had a great night.
That's great.
Miss you there. Next time we do it, we're going to do it again. We'll have you out there for it.
Absolutely, for sure. I promise, for sure. Well, listen, before we... I want to set this up properly. As you know, right before we have we do the blog roll segment every Monday, our chairman of the Michigan Democratic Party, Mark Brewer, is on with us. You referenced in one of your latest posts at eclectablog.com a letter that he sent to a couple candidates, Steve Pesca and Trevor Thomas, in Michigan's 3rd Congressional District. Give us a little background on what that letter was all about.
Well, basically, we've got two candidates for the 3rd District, at least two that I'm aware of, two main ones. One is, they're the two that you mentioned, and Chairman Brewer is asking them to basically fight a clean fight, which is a fair thing to ask. One of the things in the letter that he sent them, he asked them to sign this oath, basically, that they're going to, you know, sort of keep it clean, and one of the items on it was that they're going to avoid attacks on each other's records and positions, and that struck me a little bit unfair, frankly, because, you know, Steve Pesca has you know, a history. He was a state representative, I think it was. And, you know, I think it's fair to talk about people's history and their voting and things. So for somebody like Trevor, who's, you know, trying to get the name recognition that he needs to be a viable candidate, doesn't seem like a, it seems to be sort of favors Steve Fesk, I guess. So, you know, it's a single affair. I don't think that Trevor's going to sign that, that letter, frankly.
Well, you know, this is challenging because we are finding that there are prominent Democrats that are taking sides here as well, Chris Savage. So we do need to point that out.
Yes, there are. And Steve has got a whole host of very, you know, rock-solid Democrats that are endorsing him. Also, Trevor Thomas does. He's got, you know, John Cherry and Jennifer Graham have both endorsed his candidacy. So, you know, we've got two really, you know, pretty solid Democrats here. But, you know, the piece that I wrote about last week was that I've been watching this race because I know I've talked to Trevor and I've written about him in the past. And I've been trying to get to know Steve Fesca. And I noticed on his Facebook page that he had this sudden surge of likes on his Facebook page. I thought that was a little odd. And when you dig into it, you realize that most of his new likes, which came in a course of a couple of weeks, were from a demographic of 13 to 17-year-olds. For a while, it was in the Philippines, and then more recently, it's in Israel, which seems a little odd. And so I reached out to them and asked them, you know, are you basically buying, you know, because you can go online, actually, and there are places where you can buy likes for your Facebook page. You can ask Gingrich about that. There's something like 80% of his likes are fake ones. And they said, no, that's, you know, they just did this, they did an ad, you know, a non-targeted ad buy on Facebook, and suddenly they got all these likes, which seemed a little unlikely to me. So,
an untargeted ad buy, because in politics we always do untargeted ad buys.
Yeah, it just seemed, it was, in my opinion, a pretty lame excuse, and, you know, I think, really, frankly, that I'd just fess up to it and be done with it. I put up a piece this morning noting that since that piece came out, and the piece that I wrote got picked up by America Blog and by Gizmodo, so it got a little traction, and since then they've lost about 700 likes off their page. So I assume they're trying to correct that demographic. Because if you look at Trevor Thomas's Facebook page, you know, he's got, you know, a demographic of 25 to 34-year-olds from Grand Rapids, which is, you know, really what you would expect from somebody who's running from the west side of the state and who's a younger candidate.
Well, you know, and I'll just throw this out there. I know a little bit about this stuff because I ran for Congress before. Likes and Facebook and Twitter and all those things actually don't vote. That doesn't mean that it doesn't get you to people that do, because it does. But we really do need to be very careful here, as I think Steve Pesca is learning, that if you're going out and, you know, I'd rather have 1,000 quality likes than 10,000 13-year-olds liking me.
Absolutely, and really, what this comes down to is, you know, you have to earn popularity in politics, and you do that by going out and meeting with constituents and talking to people and knocking on doors and making phone calls, and, you know, it's just kind of silly to go out there and purchase popularity, because that doesn't get you votes. And at the end of the day, whichever one of these candidates wins, we need to go out and beat Justin Amash, because we need to replace him in Congress. So I think that personally, that Trevor's got what it takes to do that. He's a young, energetic, charismatic, you know, Democrat. He's got great progressive values, and I think he's got what it takes to run that campaign and beat Amash.
Well, and people need to also understand that, and I think Steve Pesca probably learned this the hard way over the last couple of days. People are going to pay attention, and, you know, he does have a little bit of a PR problem. Because he's not a traditional, I mean, he doesn't hold all of the traditional Democratic values, and so he has a record, and people know that he's got a record, and he's going to have to wear some of this. It's just the reality.
That's right. You know, and Thomas has been hitting it pretty hard on not being strong enough pro-choice and not being a real solid for LGBT rights and the rights of LGBT couples to be married and stuff like that, and I think that's a fair conversation to have. And, you know, part of that is Steve's, you know, background and the votes that he's cast in the past. So if he has had a change of heart on some of this stuff, that's important for us to know as voters, and we need to know that. It's okay for candidates to, you know, evolve, as, for example, President Obama has done on the issue of same-sex marriage and things like that. So, you know, but I think these are fair questions to ask. And, you know, what I suspect has happened here is that there are some people on the Pesca campaign that just, you know, sort of did this ad hoc And he may not have even thought about it. I don't know. I mean, I when you see what happened to McCotter last week, I suspect that he wasn't out there trying to sabotage his own campaign. I just think he got some bad people helping him out. And the same may happen here. I talked to somebody who was or is involved in a pesky campaign at a pretty high level, and they were completely unaware that this was going on. So it's hard to say why it happened, but at this point it needs to, it's fair game, in my opinion.
No, it is fair game. And listen, it's politics, so it's all fair game, even when it's not fair game, Chris Tavage. It's fair game.
That's true.
I mean, let's call it for what it is. There's no question that's true. Very quickly, you mentioned Thaddeus McCotter, and we really don't know the story here yet, but this is something that we do deserve an explanation on, isn't it?
Well, I think so. I mean, when the guy turned in 2,000 petition signatures, and only about 10% of them were actually valid, there's definitely some unanswered questions there. And if he's not responsible for that, then the people that are need to be brought out and talked to, because that is, that verges on, campaign fraud, basically. if you're turning in duplicates like that, that's just, it almost looks like you got sabotaged, frankly. I don't know.
Well, there's something that just very odd about this whole situation. From his initial reaction to him dropping out suddenly, and that's the part that really has picked my interest, him dropping out this weekend, that tells us something. But don't ask me what it is, Chris, that it tells us, because I can't figure it out yet.
I wonder if we'll ever find that out, frankly.
And I don't know. I mean, especially when you're dealing with Thaddeus McCotter, which I did do because I ran against him, he's just such an oddball. I mean, there's nothing normal about this guy.
You got to be chuckling about this.
Oh, of course I am. I cannot begin to tell you how many emails I've received in the last week. Do you wish you were running against him now? No, I do not wish I was running against him now. But, yes, I am enjoying this just a little bit.
So he hasn't said why he dropped out yet, has he?
No, he hasn't. And that's, and then I talked to, I talked to somebody higher up in the political hierarchy on the Republican side of the aisle yesterday late afternoon, and they told me that there may be a huge announcement coming later this week on that fraud issue. Not that he committed fraud, but that it did happen, and right, that he realized that there was no way he was going to be able to combat this and have any success as a write-in candidate. And, he did mention something about multitasking, which I think is his weird way of saying, I've got an investigation on my hands.
That's right. He's got his hands full already.
Multitasking.
Well, I know. At the end of the day, even with the Pesca Thomas thing, I really think it comes back to, you got to get out there and you got to earn the popularity, you got to earn the votes, you got to earn the trust of the voters. And, that's what it comes down to.
Absolutely. Listen, travel safely, and we'll look forward to talking to you soon.
Sounds great. I think our first time we talked was I was on my way to Nehru's last year.
You're right. That's exactly what happened. Absolutely. Anyway, great to talk to you. Eclectablog.com. This is the Blog Roll segment. We'll take the break and wrap it up on.
Want your business to be heard on the go with our listeners? Advertise on iHeartRadio, the fastest growing radio app, voted best radio app of 2012. If you want to stand out and be heard by your future customers and our most loyal listeners, then email iHeartDetroit@clearchannel.com.
Hi, this is Morgan Freeman. Has anyone ever said, you are the picture of health? You look healthy and you feel fine. But that may not be the full picture. Colorectal cancer is the second leading cancer killer of men and women over 50. Doesn't always cause symptoms, but it can be prevented. Get screened. Make sure you are the picture of health.
A message from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Centers for Disease Control and Prevention.
He would come home after a hard day and just start in on me, like, hey, how's your day? How was school? What you got going on? I mean, it gave me the chills.
The time I got this wicked, cool scorpion tattoo on my shoulder, not even the whole arm, just the shoulder, and he grounded me for 2 weeks. 2 weeks! And oh yeah.
Don't worry. They'll appreciate it. Eventually. A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative and the Ad Council. Have you been a dad today? For more information, visit fatherhood.org.
Some look up to the Man of Steel and others follow lines in the web. But I look up to my real life icon, my dad. And calling him anything less than great will be misguided. In his warm arms, I confided all of my fears. And as my time to rear others grows near, I'm reminded that women marry men just like their fathers. And I hope that's true.
anything left, might as well not even bother.
A message from the National Fatherhood Initiative, the Ad Council, and this radio station. Visit fatherhood.org for more information. Have you been a dad today?
You. Stinks in here.
Passing gas in the company of others is not only taboo, it can be deadly.
I'm gagging.
Passing gas releases a plume of toxic vapors like ammonia and hydrogen cyanide.
Oh, you're killing us over here.
Daddy, you promised you'd smoke outside.
You're right, Pumpkin. Excuse me.
If you smoke, take it outside. Don't pass gas. A message from the American Legacy Foundation and the Ad Council. Get the facts at don'tpassgas.org.
Let's sing that new song.
My music track, track, track from a Godum jack. Jack, jack plays MP3s, threes, threes that I download fast, fast, fast. I read the bits, bits, bits on the microchip, chip, chip, and I burn, burn, burn all my favorite hits, hits, hits.
By the sixth grade, many girls lose interest in technology, but parents can help keep them updated. Go to girlsgotech.org.
A public service announcement brought to you by Girl Scouts of USA and Ad Council.
Before a damn Yankee played on Sweet Home Alabama, before Free Bird was one of the greatest songs of all time, and before we made our gym teacher's name famous. That's right, you heard us, Lynyrd Skynyrd on the radio.
Radio, you hear it here first.
On Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
Tweet, tweet, tweet.
Got something to tell Tony?
1-888-552-3595.
Let your voice be heard on First Shift with Tony Trupiano.
Now, time to punch back in.
All right, we're going to do it this way. I'm going to do the announcements now because I have trouble fitting them in at the end, and then we'll get to some other stuff. This Thursday, June 7th, at the Unitarian Church in Birmingham, the Sierra Club will have their last event of the season entitled Live Raptors, What We Can Learn from Birds of Prey, 6:30 to 9 o'clock, again this Thursday, June 7th, at the Unitarian Church on Woodward Avenue. Don't forget the Renew American Expo, which we talked about on Friday's show, will be this Saturday, June 9th from 10 a.m. to 6 p.m. There will be a drawing of five drawings for $1,000 each. You need to show up. You do need to be present to win. And there are going to be raffle giveaways, all American made, all union made at the UFCW Hall in Madison Heights. Father's Fest 2012 is this Sunday, the 10th, from noon until 4 at Star Park in Royal Oak. Again, you just need to show up. It's $5 per family. That's per family. So those are the announcements. Yay, I did it. Good for me. Good for me. Yeah, not a lot going on. I want to remind you, if there's something in your world that you would like me to announce on the show, you just need to send it to me, TonyShow.org, and I will be happy to get it on the air. Absolutely. No question about it. Wow, what a day. What a day indeed. All right. This is here's the deal, folks. As I get ready to wrap things up today, I'm going to see the surgeon today that did my weight loss surgery. So I will know how much weight I've lost according to their scale, which they told me is the only scale in the world that matters. It's just their scale. You know how that messes with someone's head? Well, it does, but I'll know how much. And as I promised, and I've kept the promise, I'm just giving you a once-a-month update. So I'll give you an update tomorrow how much I've lost. I think I know how much I've lost, but I'll get it officially this afternoon and let you know. I have been going to the gym almost, 5 days a week. I did the 6 days last week, but... Or the week before last, but 5 days this week, and that's the goal. The goal is 5 days, and I'm fine with 5 days. I don't need to go 6 days. Certainly don't need to go 7 days. And in fact, on Saturday, pushed myself a little too hard on the treadmill, and man, oh man, Jeff, did my knees feel it on a Saturday late afternoon.
Really?
Whew.
Did you now? How fast are you going?
Well, I don't want to say because it might be really wimpy.
No, okay. Well, whatever it is, you might be going too fast.
I was. I pushed myself.
Yeah, because I. That's the one thing that they actually told me at the doctor's office back. Remember when I had the back problems?
Yes.
She said the treadmill is one of the best things for you, but she said make sure you don't run on it.
Oh, I don't run. Obviously, if I ran, the floor would collapse.
What?
Come on now. You're not anymore. You're starting to lose weight. I'm worried about you. You're starting to wither away.
Yeah, I don't think we quite need to worry about that, but I appreciate it.
Obviously you can tell you've lost a lot of weight, but I can even notice, and not to make fun of you or anything, but your clothes look like you're wearing your older brother's clothes.
Yeah,
I'm starting to a little bit.
It is an issue. At some point here in the very near future, I am going to at least need to go buy a pair of pants that fit. Because I literally have nothing. I found a pair of dress slacks yesterday that fit me. And I guess it doesn't matter. I can share this, right? They were a size 40 waist, which the people are going to go, wow, that's huge. But I was a 54 waist. And these pants were a 40, and they fit me just fine. So
well, that's quite a difference between the two sizes.
Yeah, and it'll be 10 weeks Wednesday that I had surgery. So, no, I feel good about my progress. There's no question that's true. It's certainly going to the gym has helped me to continue to lose weight. I have a long way to go. I'm not even close to where I want to be, but I'm fine with that. This isn't a race, Jeff. I'm not looking like I've got to do this in so many weeks or so many months. You know, before you have surgery, they tell you what your window is. And the window is 9 to 15 months in order to lose the weight. And then after that, it's about maintenance. So.
Well, if it was a race, it sounds like you'd be winning. I mean, you're losing it pretty good.
No, I'm not in an
unhealthy way either.
No, not at all. A lot of people are concerned that I'm not getting enough quote unquote nutrition, but you know, Anthony will tell you I'm eating a fairly diverse diet. I am. But I'm also eating quite healthy. I eat a lot of fish because I happen to have I don't have any issues digesting fish, which is a good thing. I happen to love fish, so that's a good thing, and it happens to be healthy for you. Of course, a lot of it's preparation, but I'm not deep frying it, I assure you. So I'm enjoying it a great deal. In fact, for dinner last night, we went to my sister's for barbecue. My dad's 81st birthday is tomorrow. Anyway, I had some salmon and a couple scallops. It doesn't get any healthier than that. And it was grilled, so, you know, no oils, nothing like that. Just, you know, some spices, and we were good to go.
I think instead of finding pants that fit, you should just get colorful suspenders. I think Anthony would enjoy walking around with you.
I'm sure he would. Only if he'll hold my hand.
Actually, if you let him pick them out, I'm sure they'll be pretty stylish.
What do you think, eh? You gonna pick out some? Suspenders for me? Anthony, do you remember when I used to wear suspenders?
Yeah.
You don't remember? Do you remember why I wore suspenders?
Because you wanted to hold your pants up?
Because I was, actually, that was partially true. I was, at that point, I was so big, I couldn't find a belt that would fit me. So I had to wear suspenders to keep my pants up.
But this guy's the king of stylish belt buckles over here.
Oh, Anthony is, Anthony's got it going on. Between his belt buckles and his watches, he's got quite a watch collection now. So I just, I find that, actually, he had a watch on the other day that I almost stole. He took it off, and it was sitting on the table, and I thought, you know what? I wonder if he'll notice if I grab that watch, but he would have. So it was that black one, eh? Whatever. I don't even remember what kind of watch it was, but it was very handsome and dug it a great deal.
If we elected a P. Diddy of the show, that's Anthony.
Oh, it would be Anthony, no question. No question. Speaking of P. Diddy, did you hear about his son at UCLA?
I did. Actually, I think I'm going to talk about it this afternoon.
Justin Combs, right? That's his name, Justin?
Right?
Yeah. He gets a scholarship, and now they're being criticized because they can afford to send him to college. So what should he do, Jeff, very quickly? Should he take the scholarship or say thank you, but no thank you. We'll pay our way.
Yeah, they don't owe anybody. He earned the scholarship on the merits of his athletic ability. Now, if you know, his dad wants to donate some money for scholarships for other people, I'd be cool with that. He doesn't have to, but, you know, maybe that would calm the situation down since he's worth hundreds of billions of dollars anyway.
Yeah, I would agree. Justin Combs should not be penalized because dad is successful. Pure and simple.
Well, how many times do you hear parents say that? Like, yeah, a kid will ask him, well, are we well off? Well, I'm well off, but yeah. you got to get going on your own career.
There you go. I like the way you think, Mr. Radford. All right, we got to take off for today. Anthony and Jeff, thank you so much. To all of you, I appreciate you being with us. today, especially the guests who are just fabulous. Really had a great show today. We got a lot of great stuff coming tomorrow. Chris Mialakis will visit with the Michigan Environmental Council. Folks, there's good stuff going on. This is First Shift. Don't forget that. And as always, I ask that you be well.
WDTW, continuous traffic watch.
Checking your traffic, we got an accident that's blocking your left shoulder on 96 eastbound at the 696 M5 exit, and that's causing stop and go traffic from Kensington Road. Heading over to M14 westbound at the Ford Road exit, one is blocking your left shoulder, and it's causing stop and go traffic from Beck Road. And we got another accident blocking your right shoulder on 75 southbound at Lapeer Road, and that's causing slow traffic from Joslin. That's your total traffic update. I'm Chris Boyd.
1310 WDTW, Motor City Weather.
Today's going to be mostly sunny and 73 degrees. Tonight, 52 and partly cloudy. Tomorrow, 73 and partly cloudy. And it's currently 55 degrees outside. This is Anthony with your First Shift weather.
Stay connected with us. First Shift is on Facebook and Twitter. Follow us, like us, love us. At Tony Trupiano on Twitter and add a like to the First Shift with Tony Trupiano page today.
This is Detroit's Progressive Talk, 1310 WDTW, Dearborn.